यशुमति नंदन ब्रज भरोन गर गोकुल रंजन
कानशुमति
यशुमति नंदन ब्रज भरोन गर गोकुल रंजन कान गोपी परन धन मदन मनोहर
Oh,
लक्ष्मीनन्दन ब्रज भरनागर कृष्णनन्दन चर गोपी बसन हर यमुन तट चर गोपी बसन हर दासर सीत गृप मो Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे
हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे
hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare hare
hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Radha Madhava रंग राधे
शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहु श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री 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 गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमाम श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धान्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैतवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈബാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കർമ്മയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകൊണിതാതൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമല് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം ജൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ by Krishna's and Prabhupada's grace we have another opportunity to discuss these important chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam for the next 2 weeks. The Srimad Bhagavatam, as we have been now spoken from Bhagavatam for quite a long time, and these chapters, because in the Bhagavatam, when you look at it, you can see in the Ekadashi Skandam particularly, Krishna is continuously talking to Uddhava about the truth. And Uddhava's doubt that has come during that inquiry, Krishna has gone in a different way explaining to them, to Uddhava, that Uddhava, doubts are coming from the mind. They don't come from the soul. It doesn't come from the Atma. Because it is like that, you can always see Krishna always stay with the Atma. Krishna doesn't want to come to the platform of the mind. All that is why we have this situation. Whenever Uddhava has asked questions, Krishna has not answered the questions directly. You will see that throughout Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. Krishna's way of doing things is like that. That instead of answering the questions, Krishna answers them to the taking the attention to the truth or to the person who has the doubts. That's Krishna's process. Anyway, to be in that Krishna's way of presenting things and to be absorbed in that, sometimes it is difficult, because when we are busy with so many millions of things in this world, it's also very hard to give a lot of attention to such important matters in life, which we think that it is not important, isn't it? As far as Krishna is concerned, Ekadasha Skandam is the culmination of all knowledge. There is no knowledge after that. That there ends everything. In other words, Krishna is saying that, Uddhava, if this knowledge is realized, there is nothing to be known after that. This is how confidently Krishna says about that. Pitva piyusham amrutam padavyam avashishyate. If you will see in the end of the Ekadasha Skandam. Pitva piyusham amrutam padavyam avashishyate. In other words, after rejoicing in the knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam, there is nothing to be known after that. So confidently Krishna declares the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself is saying this. If you realize this knowledge, there is nothing to be known after that. Generally, all of us have this thinking, is there something more to know, something more to know. After everything, we think in that way, isn't it? But in particularly in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Pitva piyusham amrutam padavyam avashishyate. After drinking this nectar, there is nothing else, you won't ask for anything else. So confidently Krishna says about this, these chapters, what we are now discussing. So it is Krishna's grace that we are sitting here. We should not take it in a very lightheartedly. There are so many problems in life, sickness in the body, sickness in the mind, other prarabdhams in life. So many things can come and they can stop everything and take people out of the spiritual life, isn't it? So therefore, that is why first we have to thank to Krishna and to Prabhupada for keeping us in spiritual life and giving us the inspiration to hear Bhagavadam and to reflect on the Srimad Bhagavadam, especially this Ekadasha Skandam, which generally is the cream of Bhagavadam and also gives a deep insight into what Krishna's message is to this world before he departed from this earthly planet, before he went back to Krishna's Sothamobha Gade, before he went back to his own abode, what he had to tell this world, that is what is Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? So anyway, so that has to be spoken, and it has to be spoken very firmly. That is the Krishna's desire always. That Krishna gives us an opportunity to hear Bhagavadam. If we utilize it, that is also Krishna's grace. Krupa, that is what it is. When that grace is not there, our mind, there will be so many other problems will come in life, and it will come on our way, some way or the other. And it will keep us busy in this world with so many other things. And we will think all that is more important than the Bhagavadam. So that is Krishna's grace. So we got to be conscious of that fact. So last time when we discussed Bhagavadam, Krishna spoke about the importance of the knowledge of the self. After that was discussed, Uddhava asked the question to Krishna that how do I develop all this knowledge? It was Uddhava's question. And Krishna told him that, Uddhava, there is a lot of things to be done before that. That comes much later. Much later, those things are discussed. So prior to that, Krishna started with the discussion about yama-niyamam. That is what yama means, rules and regulations, or Krishna calls it as the... if you look into the chapter 19, there was a number of questions Krishna he was asking in the 19th chapter. That is where we stopped. So when Krishna spoke about dharmam, and Krishna's explanation of dharmam in that 19th chapter, which we have spoken in relationship with knowledge and vairagyam, jnanam and vairagyam together. Spoke about that, and Uddhava was asking this question, that the way Krishna explained dharmam was quite different than the way normally in the Vedic literature it is presented. So it was then that Uddhava asked the question that what is yamam, what is niyamam, yamam niyamam, and few other things also, that shamam, damam, titiksha, a number of things. Uddhava asked a question. Uddhava knew all these things, but Uddhava wanted to know what is Krishna's explanation to that. How does Krishna see them? Which you can see in the 19th chapter, a number of explanations to yamaniyamam, shamam, damam, titiksha, danam, tapasya, shauryam, tyagam, dakshina, like that, a number of things which we have talked about before. So Krishna explained them in a completely different way than normally what you will see those things in the Shastra. And Uddhava heard all these things, but before Krishna concluded, Krishna said to Uddhava, I'm not going to talk about it in detail, he said, because these things are gunam dosham, good and the bad, good and the bad. And he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this guna dosha drishir dosham gunastu ubhaya varjida. That means to see gunam and dosham, good and bad in this world itself is bad. That is Krishna's answer. Because Krishna is looking at it from a different position altogether. Normally when we analyze everything to such finer details and we want to make everything properly systematic in this world, isn't it? And everything we do has to be correct. We have to know that this is right, this is wrong. Krishna is saying, Uddhava, all these things are not important as far as spiritual life is concerned. Because this gunam dosham, seeing good and seeing bad, itself is bad, he says. And not seeing good and bad is the right thing. Eva Uddhavade prasna sarva eva nirubidaha kim varnidena bahuna lakshanam gunadoshayoho. This gunam dosham, that means good and bad, seeing something good and something bad, and both are, Krishna is concerned, gunadosha drashir dosham. Seeing gunam dosham is itself is dosham. That itself is bad. Gunastu ubhaya varjida. Though both should be given up. That means seeing good and bad itself should be given up. Because you can see, in Maya's world, so many things happen. You cannot find any reasoning and logic behind it. Why this has happened in this way? Why somebody has acted in that way? Why somebody has acted in a different way? There are unlimited reasons unknown to us. In many cases. And if we get absorbed in that, all the time trying to find out what went wrong, why did this happen, what this happened, what's the reason behind it, you won't get anywhere. But our mind will always keep telling us to keep going after that. To some extent you can do certain things in this world, but then we have to leave it also at some point. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the nature of this world. That is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. So when Krishna said this to Uddhava, Uddhava got more confused. Already he was confused. And after explaining all these things, when Krishna said to Uddhava, guna dosha drishir dosham, seeing this gunam and dosham itself is bad, Uddhava, and gunastu ubhaya varjida, both have to be given up. Gunam and dosham has also to be given up. It was then Uddhava asked this question that, you are the person who are behind all this Vedic knowledge. You are the person who has given this Varna Dharmam, Ashrama Dharma, Varna Ashrama Dharmam, everything in this world. You have spoken about all kinds of rules and regulations. And now you are saying that you give up everything. After saying all the things, all the rules, and somebody brings all the rules and regulations, and that is the way Vedas. Understanding is that a certain stage, Varnashrama Dharma is not important, Gunadosham is not important. So many things we have to throw it away from spiritual life. So this is why it is important to know what Krishna wants from us, isn't it? It is not generally what happens is people are very attached to rules and regulations. If there is a lots of rules and regulations, they say, oh, it's very good. Everything is very clearly defined. And they want to get stuck with that. And then they will try to memorize all the rules, all the regulations, everything. And then they will start applying that in their vyavaharam in this world, and then find that it's not working. Because most of these rules and regulations have got a certain situations where they can function well. Society, everything is changing in the material life, isn't it? World is changing, people are changing, body is changing, mind is changing. And therefore, many of the things what are spoken also cannot completely satisfy our needs in certain instances. Therefore, what Krishna did was, when Uddhava asked this question, vidischa pratishedascha, vidhi and pratishedam, that means, vidhi and pratishedam means do's and don'ts. You have spoken so many things. Nigamo Ishwarasyade, and you are the Ishwara, Supreme Lord, who is saying all these things. Avekshade Aravindaksha Gunam Dosham Cha Karmanam. That, and Vedam is based on the, Vedam talks about karmam, gunadosham of the karmam. And if there is no gunam and dosham, that means if there is no good and bad, then this instructions of do's and don'ts also won't make any sense, isn't it? Because generally, when we say to others that, look, if you do all these things in this way, the rules, and if you don't do things in certain ways, then these good results will come, and these bad results won't come. So, gunadosham and vidhinishedam are connected, is it not? Why do we have good rules and bad rules? So if you know good things, what's the right thing, then you will act in the right way. And Krishna is saying that if you act in this way, these results will come, good results will come. If you act in the wrong way, bad results will come. So because we are concerned about the good and bad results, we are willing to follow the rules, is it not? Because we are concerned about the results, that bad results will come if I act in the wrong way. Good results will come if I act in the good way. Therefore, I am willing to follow the good rules. I am willing to follow the rules. So that is the normal principle. And after saying all that, Krishna is saying that you give up everything. All this has no meaning, he says. Gunadosham, gunadosha drishadosham, gunastu bhayavarjita, he said. So it was at that time that Uddhava had serious doubts about everything. And Uddhava asked these questions to Krishna, that what should I do? What should I do? I am in Brahmam, he says the word Brahmam. You have to remember, by now Uddhava has almost heard 20 chapters of the 28 chapters of the Ekadasha Skandam. And it is then Uddhava is asking this question. So when he asked this question, Krishna says to Uddhava that this is very confusing to me, because he says that Vedam gives you all the injunctions how to live in this world. Vedam tells you that, isn't it? And all this yamam niyamam, all the rules which has come from Vedam has given the injunctions. And suppose if you take it away, everything, what will happen to the human society? Uddhava is asking. They will simply become animals then. If there is no rules and regulations, they will simply come to anybody will do anything what they like, and they'll come to the platform of animals. And therefore, is not these rules, regulations not necessary? Uddhava's question was like that. And everything has come from the Vedam at the end. Vedam brought all the rules. Vedam has put the rules for us. Vedam has tied us down to under certain conditions. We live like this. Vedam is telling us that how one should earn wealth. Vedam divided the society into 4 varnam and 4 ashramam. Vedam told Brahmana should live in this way. Vedam says Kshatriya should live in this way. Vedam says Vaishya should live in this way. Vedam says Shudra should live in this way. Vedam says Brahmachari should live in a particular way. Vedam says Grahastha should live in a particular way. So everything is Vedam, Vedam, Vedam behind it. Vedam is saying everything. So when all the rules and regulations have been put on by the Vedam, and that Vedam which has given all the rules and regulations, Vedam also tells us the duty of a householder, the duty of a man, duty of a woman, duties of children, grown-ups, everything is in the Vedam. So question is, after laying down all the rules and regulations, Vedam is finally telling us, throw away all the rules and regulations. You see? You have to know these things. Otherwise, simply reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and thinking, oh, this is what Krishna said, I'll just do it. This is not how you take spiritual life. You should know the background behind it. The whole history behind it is so important. Because when you understand this in the proper way, then your doubts will go from inside. Otherwise, we will not, because Vedic literature has a particular way of presenting things. And that you will notice it when you see Krishna also won't break those injunctions. That is how, because Vedo Narayana Sashal, Krishna is the Vedam. Vedam is Krishna, isn't it? For followers of Vedic literature, it is not who has spoken that is important. What is important is the authority of the Vedam. Authority of the Vedam is the most important thing. The rishis gave us this highest revelations of the Vedic authority. Even any acharya who comes in any tradition, he has to accept the authority of the Vedas. If he is not accepting the authority of the Vedam, no matter who it is, even if Kapila Maharshi comes and says, we will not accept it because he has not accepted the authority of the Vedas. And that Vedam process is like this, that it tells you all the rules, all the regulations, all our obligations in this life, in this world. And finally, Vedam is saying, leave everything behind and take it out from us. So, just like in the Vedic society, there are so many samskarams mentioned, isn't it? For Brahmana, 40 samskaras are mentioned. That means he has practically no time for anything else in life except to be busy with spiritual life. That's the only occupation he has got. Garbhadanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, Jatakaranam, Namakaranam, Karnavedam, Chaulam, Uvanayanam, Samavartanam. Like that, it goes about 40 samskaras are mentioned in the Shastram for him. And on his daily life, he has to perform Nityakarmam. There is so many mentioned, which means from waking up in the morning from 2 or 3 o'clock, right up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he has something to do. He has something to do. In other words, the reason behind that is that if he is given enough work, you load him with enough things so that he will not go and find work outside. That's the idea behind it. So, Brahmana society, so that he will not go outside and look for other kinds of work. This was so rigid was the society in the days. So such is the society, Vedic society. Similarly, they have given some concessions for Kshatriya, some more concessions for Vaishya, and further concessions for the others like that. But Brahmanas, who are the leaders of the society, who have the greatest responsibility towards the society, they have no time to acquire wealth. That thought even should not come to their head. In such a way, they are engaged throughout the day. The first time he will have a sip of water will be afternoon 3 o'clock every single day. Before that, to such an extent, they were occupied in their spiritual life. So, all these things and so many rules, so many regulations, especially for the Brahmanas. Less for others, but mostly for the Brahmanas. So, here, question is, after giving all these rules and regulations and asking them to follow it all the way through in life, finally, Vedam is saying, throw it away everything after doing all that things. So, and that, Krishna, Vedam calls it as sannyasam. Sannyasa means that whatever you have taken upon on board, throw it away, it says. So that Vedam, which has what they call it as Aravanam. Aravanam means that has been put to you to follow through. And that Vedam says that it tells you the way how to release everything, get released from everything else. Sorry. So, this is that question Uddhava asked Krishna. If you look into the 20th chapter, you will see that question is a very important question in the 20th chapter. Uddhava's question is very... Uddhava, you can see Uddhava himself is a little bit confused about that. He says, fifth verse, if you look, gunadosha bhida drishtir nigamate nahiswata nigamena apavadascha bhidaya idiha brahmam. That is how Uddhava, the five verses are from Uddhava, the first five verses in the 20th chapter is from Uddhava. Uddhava is asking five verses, and finally he says, Krishna concluded the 19th chapter. Krishna concluded the 19th chapter. The subject is very, very subtle. If you do not give enough attention to it, you won't relish it, this question and answers from Uddhava and Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava in the last chapter, the last verse, if you look in the 19th chapter, Eda Uddhava te prashna, Uddhava, why ask so many questions? He says, Sarva eva nirubidaha. And in general, I have spoken to you. He says, in general, I have spoken to you. Kim varnideena bahuna, what is the point in talking about a lot about it? Lakshanam gunadoshayoho. Because Uddhava, like us, he wants rules and regulations, clearly, to be told. Everybody likes in spiritual life some rules and regulations, isn't it? People like it when they are told. People enjoy when they are given. And they generally, you can see anyone taking to spiritual life, first thing what they do, they memorize all the rules and regulations. Is it not? You will see this if you carefully look at people. They'll see that they want a law book to themselves. Everybody likes a law book that... in a form of an instruction manual or something like that. If you are given like that, people feel it's good. Everything is spoken very nicely. But here, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, and Uddhava also was asking the same way, and Krishna says that I have spoken to you few things, good and bad, but Krishna doesn't want to go on in that direction too far. So he says to him, Gunam and Dosham I have spoken to you, Uddhava, but they in itself is not the important thing. And seeing this good and bad in everything, because rules brings that problem. When the rules you start applying in world, what happens? You find somebody is right, somebody is wrong. Is it not? That's the first thing what we see. Somebody is right and somebody is wrong. And somebody, we start judging people with the rules and regulations. So Krishna says to Uddhava, I don't like that. He says, Akshanam gunadosha, gunadosha drishir dosham. Seeing good and bad itself is bad. Gunamstu ubhaya varjida. The right thing is ubhaya varjida, to give up both, seeing good and bad. Because when you have come to spiritual life, what does it matter what goes on in this world? This is Krishna's point. Why do you worry about prakriti so much? Why worry about maya so much? This is maya's world, and maya will act in its own way. Sometimes you will get kicked, sometimes you will get praised. That will all happen in this maya. Should you take it seriously? This is Krishna's question. Rather, focus on the Atma. This is the message Krishna is driving at. Rather than getting serious about Maya, get serious about Atma inside. So Krishna said that and left it there. But Uddhava could not get that message. Well, it looks... And then he five verses, Uddhava asked Krishna this question. And finally he says that, Gunadosha bhidaya drishtir nagamate nahi swataha. Fifth verse, Nagamena apavadascha bhidaya idiha brahmam. He says that this gunam, dosham, all these things has come from the Vedam, and
Otherwise, it will. Where who will make this law? Who will make the rules and regulations? Only you are capable of making it. You are the person behind the Vedam. You have made all that, and then now you are telling me that throw away everything, and that is causing problem for me. Uddhava says to Krishna, that is Uddhava's problem. We also have the same problem, is it not? Suppose we got used to something in spiritual life, we hold on to that. And we think that this is the final conclusion. And we think that that's the only thing I'll follow and everything else is all false, or we try to reject that. So, but Krishna says, keep your mind open. Don't get carried away by all these rules and regulations. For the knowledge of the self to build up. What did Krishna do? Krishna didn't answer that question. Which one? This question from Uddhava. When Uddhava says, I am confused, Krishna didn't answer that question. Instead, whole attention Krishna took to the yoga process. He started talking about the yoga process. That is what you find in the Sri Bhagavan Vacha, from Krishna's answer from that. So these regulations, rules and regulations, as far as Krishna is concerned, everybody should live in a particular way, a way of life, a certain steadiness and discipline in life, all of those things is only for one reason, that we all have our own selfish mind working behind everything. So if you put a track for that selfish mind to operate, then what will happen is that Vedam says like that, that at least you won't go out of the track and do ugra karmam or act in a totally opposite to the principles of religion. So it is for that reason Krishna is saying that Vedam has made all these rules and regulations so that it brings some discipline in life here. And that is why Vedam says all this is aparavidya. It is avidya, it is. Including Varnashrama Dharmam, it's all avidya. That is a bit shocking, isn't it? People don't understand that. They think that Varnashrama Dharmam, everybody is jumping about Varnashrama Dharmam, isn't it? Varnashrama Dharmam has its own benefit, no doubt. But ultimately you have to remember, Varnashrama Dharmam is also avidya. It's also avidya. And Vedam says, you have to cross beyond that also. You have to cross beyond that also. So Uddhava says, what is the secret behind this? I don't understand this, he said to Krishna. And as usual, Krishna's answer, never to answer the question. Is it not? So he says, you ask a question, the answer will be something else. Something else will be the answer. That is why Krishna started the answer. Yogastrayo maya prokta nanam shrayo vidilsaya. Jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa mopayo anyosti kutrachit. He says, Uddhava has not asked about any yoga system in that five verses. Uddhava has not asked about any yoga system, and Krishna is saying here that yogastrayo maya prokta. Uddhava, I have spoken about three yoga system, he says. Spoken about three yoga system for the sake of the welfare of this world. And this is the very heart of the Vedam. Uddhava, and these three yoga system, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam and Karma Yogam, and has been spoken for the ultimate benefit of the human society, he says. So, and except these three processes, which one? Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti, there is no other process. That is what first Krishna started the answer in that way. Yogastraya maya proktam nirnam shreyo vidhilsaya jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa no upayam anyosti kutrachit. There is no other method except these three. He put it like this. So then after saying that, Krishna wanted to say, which we have started discussing in the last Bhagavatam class, that who should go to jnanam, for whom jnana margam, for whom karma margam, for whom bhakti margam. Krishna will explain that. Again, when you read those verses, you have to be careful. Because when we read, when something is spoken in an orderly way, we start thinking that, oh, now to find out which yoga process I have to follow. You'll start thinking like that. And that is where you will require the help of the great personalities who will explain to us how this system we have to follow. So Krishna says, Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu teshu anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kamina. The first verse he says like that, isn't it? The seventh verse. So there, he mentions there that Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu. That those who are had no desire here in this world to enjoy life in this world, or even those who have lost any desires for going to heavenly planets and to enjoy there, those who have lost all desires to enjoy here, those who have even lost all desires to go to heavenly planets and to enjoy there, if they have developed that vairagyam, that detachment inside, in other words, they have gone up in life quite a bit, they have advanced a lot, for them, if they given up, and they have, because it is like that in there, they have such a vairagyam inside, no desire for enjoyment here, no desire for in the heavenly planets either, and they have that strong vairagyam, renunciation inside, for them jnana yogam will work. Jnana yogam will work. So two things there. Krishna says, Nirvinnanam jnana yogo. Nirvinnada. Nirvinnada means no attachment anywhere. No attachment, no desire for any results. In other words, they have gone a little bit higher in life. They have realized that this karma in this world, what does it give me at the end? Some kind of possessions in this world, isn't it? But they have also realized that the result of karma is karma vasana, more bondage. In other words, they have analyzed so well inside themselves that they have managed to free themselves from the attachment to karma, attachment to body, attachment to this world, and so many other kinds of attachments, all that has left them. They have no attraction for anything in this world. They will not be captivated by anything in this world. Not only that, Krishna is saying, that nirvinnanam jnana yogam, that nirvinnada. Nirvinnada means detachment from the world. Not only from here, even from the, because in the Vedam there is also the explanation of higher enjoyment in the heavenly planets, for which various sacrifices are spoken. If executed, one has an opportunity to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy Rajasuyam, Adiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajapayam. There's a number of them mentioned in the Bhagavadam also, as well as in the whole of Karmagandam of the Vedam. So among the followers of Vedic culture also, there are many people who are attracted to executing sacrifices and going to higher planets and enjoying in the heavenly planets. Even that desire has gone away in the case of these people. Because the vairagyam is so strong inside, because they have realized karma means bondage at the end. You get bound here, one way or the other. You can go to higher planets, enjoy there, but then you come back here again. You are not escaped from the material body, isn't it? You still have a material body, you still have a mind. That means the problems of birth, death, old age and disease has not gone. So those who have come to that realization that I don't want to do anything here, I don't want to create another material body, I don't want to enjoy the heavenly planets, complete vairagyam has come inside, and also the result was that they have developed such a strong realization inside, they have freed themselves from the karma. That's what Krishna is saying there. Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu. No attraction for karma, and complete detachment from the world and the heavenly planets. Teshu anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. If you have reached that state, Krishna's point is, As soon as you hear about the self, about the knowledge of the self, immediately you will be situated in that state. You will be situated in that state. Surupanishta. They call it as Surupanishta. So it is not something, what you have to remember is, that it's not something that you can intellectually get it or through your mind. It has to come through this vairagyam and freedom from that karma vasana has to happen inside first. When they are happening, then when those things have happened, then at that time, if the knowledge of the self is spoken, that person immediately will go to the right place and it will have its effect. He will get situated in the spiritual platform. And such people, Krishna is saying, that they are qualified to be jnana yogis, or jnanis in other words, and they are qualified for that. That is one group of people. Then, in the next one, there is the opposite side of that. Some people who are very attached to karma, isn't it? Karma. Some people are very attached to karma. They cannot give it up. And when that happens, and also they are very concerned about the results. They are very concerned about the results. this all you can see in this world without anybody, any explanation, only with a little bit of observation, you can see people's nature. Some people work very hard and they like the results also equally. And their attachment to the results, if you have very strong attachment, then for them, their way to escape from here, the secret of that lies in their karma. See, we are all different in this world. Our nature is different, isn't it? We all have a different nature. Because we have come with vasanas from previous life. And that's what's coming out through us in different ways, at different times. Strong karma vasana in a person, he thinks that, oh, there's a lot of things to be done in this world. There's a lot of money to be made. And a lot of... And they don't even think about the death. So absorbed in the... In the projects going on in here, they build so many big projects, and that way they get busy with it, and they think that whatever they have done, right in front of their eyes, people are leaving this world, but they won't see that. They are thinking that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, and they are very much attached to the results of their actions. If it is like that, the secret for them, or their way for them to get released from here, the secret is lying in their karma. Is lying in their karma. Or the path for liberation for them is in the karma. And that is where the seed of their liberation lies. That they have to recognize first. They have to recognize first. In other words, there is a system in the Ayurvedam. For example, in the past, when the patient comes to see the physicians, the physician may be holding some plant in his hand, and at that time he will add that particular plant into the medicine, what he will give to the patient, whatever medicine plant it is. Because for him, when the patient comes to see him, it's important for him what he is doing at that moment. He thinks that that is some connection with the patient who is coming. And therefore, he will add that plant into the medicine, whatever he has taken. Because for him, the present moment is important for him. So, therefore, when we look into spiritual life, you have to know this. You have to look at yourself and you have to see where you stand. First thing. This is the way Vedic spiritual life works. You look at yourself and see where do you stand in all these things. It's not that one medicine for the whole world. Although Shastram will say so many things, the principle is behind that is that you got to know where you stand first in life, in spiritual life. Otherwise it will not happen. So, our intelligence will tell us that what I am doing is not correct now in spiritual life. Our intelligence will tell us like that. Mind will tell us something different. Mind will say, no, I should do something different. This is not working for me. That's how our mind and intelligence will dictate to us. But that is not how in spiritual life it should be. Wherever we are, where Krishna has put us in, to accept it like that. This is where Krishna has put me today, and that is where I have to execute spiritual life. This is the right approach. Not that I leave and throw away everything and change everything and thinking that if I go and do something else, it will work out. If I could do something else, it will work out better. Because mind and brain will give you new ideas. Krishna's point is that wherever Krishna has put you, whatever situation it is, householder or brahmachari or vanaprastham or sannyasam or brahmana or kshatriya or vaishya or shudra, whatever that may be, it doesn't matter. Where we have to start from there. We have to start from there. Just like, no matter how bad it is, things are, that like they say, the known devil who is close to you is better than a good person who is far away. Is it not? Because at least you know whom you are dealing with. In the similarly, Krishna says, therefore, therefore, that is why in these verses, when you look at Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, you have to know with what background Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that if you are very detached from this world and if you have come up a little bit in life, come up means not materially, spiritually, that you have come to some realizations that this karma is not making any sense to me, except that it is binding me more to this world. And then also you have thought about that well enough inside, reflected on it, and understood that there is practically no happiness in this world in through the body and the mind. And even the so-called happiness that is spoken about in the heavenly planets also is not worth pursuing. If you have all come to that conclusion inside very carefully, very seriously, then Krishna said, you are qualified for Jnana Yoga. Will work for you. It will suit you then, in that case. Then Krishna says, if it is not so, you are very attached to the results and you are still feeling very attracted by the world of enjoying here or looking for some success in life here in some way, whatever it may be, then Karma Yoga is the answer, because the whole secret of your success will depend on the karma what you are doing. Then that's where the secret is, he says here. So those who have come to the Jnana Yoga platform, they have to hear a little bit, immediately there will be realization inside. There will be self-realization inside. So that is how simple that is. Spiritual life is that simple, Krishna is saying. It is that simple, spiritual life is, he says. By simply by hearing, it will happen. This is Krishna's point. So, but instead, suppose you are caught up in the vyavaharam in this world. You are very much caught up. Some people are very caught up, isn't it? They are so caught up that they are finding it very difficult to pull out of it. If it is like that, Krishna says, then the solution to that problem is that little by little, that they should change that style of vyavaharam in such a way that the results of that vyavaharam, not to take it very seriously, in a detached mood, execute that karma till that karma becomes a favorable for you to get released from that effect of karma. In other words, karma itself becomes a karma yogam, in other words. So, Krishna says, that is two things Krishna has spoken like this, about jnana margam and about the karma margam. These two possibilities. Jnana margam for those who have analyzed life, thoughtful people in other words, inward looking nature, and a little bit how do they call it, reflective nature, who have understood this world that requires a little detachment from here and find no attraction here in this world. Karma is only, and plus due to the knowledge of the Shastram, how karma binds a person to this world, creates new, generates new material bodies. All this analysis he has done himself through Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature by studying Shastram. And by his own observations and internalization, he has seen that this world is not something I want to be here. He has come to that conclusion inside. But outwardly, he is still living in this world. Outwardly, he is still living in this world. He is carrying on with his daily activities, whatever he has to do. But inside, he has realization, in other words. He also is not looking for much from this world. He is not looking for any happiness from this world. He is not looking for any happiness even from the heavenly planets. If all these situations, because there are people like that in this world even today, who have come to that state, for them, all that is required is they have to simply hear from a realized soul, immediately it will catch the fire inside and they will be in the realized state. That is the first stage. Secondly, alternatively, Krishna says, if someone who is very attracted to this world, very attracted to all the happiness of this world, I want everything, I can't give up anything, I'm very attached to everything, I want recognition in this world, I want the results of my actions, and I can't sit and read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, rather I am more interested in the activities, how the world, how I can change this world, improve the world, help others, and help so many other projects in their head. When it is like that, Krishna says, there, because of the attachment to the karma, the secret of his success in spiritual life lies in his karma. That's important point. That's important. The secret of the success of his spiritual life lies in his karma, Krishna says. And if that karma is executed little by little, without expectation of results, in other words, not too concerned about the results, in a detached way, he should practice the karma first. That is the first thing. Therefore, that is where he has to start with. So two people, Jnani starts from one level, Karmi starts from another level, isn't it? The two people are starting from two different levels. Then, another category, who doesn't belong to either of these two, that is majority. Majority of the people in the world are somewhat like this, isn't it? Depends, again, to a large extent. So that is why, in the next verse, Krishna says, Yadurchaya malkadadho jada shraddhastu ya puman na narvino na adisakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. Bhakti yogosya siddhida. It says here that Yadurchaya malkadadho, Krishna says. Yadurchaya means that he doesn't know anything about spiritual life. Nor he is too attracted to the world either. There are a lot of people in that category, isn't it? Some or the other want to pass the time in this world, get through the life, we say, isn't it? And get through without too much hassle. And they're not too attracted about making, they don't have big projects in their head or big ideas in worrying them. At the same time, if you tell them that why don't you give up all this, they say that's not possible. We still need our little things, what we do in this life, some comforts, in other words. So Krishna says, they are in a sort of a neither this nor that. They are not come to the jnani's level, and they are not like the karmis either, isn't it? They are too little different. They know very well that this karma and all is they are willing to do up to a certain level to maintain themselves. They are willing to do the karma. And on the other hand, as far as the Jnanamargam is concerned, that kind of detachment also is not there in them. Like what Krishna spoke about before, that Vairagyam has not come. They still like their family life, still like their office life and an income and some comforts in life and all these things and some recognition in the society, some connection with the world in certain level. They are not ready totally like the jnanis are. So Krishna says, Yadrchaya Malkadhado Jadashraddhastu Yapaman Na Narvina Na Disakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhida. He says, it so happened that somewhere he heard from somebody about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Salsangam, and when he heard about Krishna, hearing about Krishna means hearing about Atma, about the soul, when he heard about that, he felt a certain attraction towards that by hearing. He got some attraction for that, and he found some taste in there. He found some taste there. And when he heard about Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and Krishna's pastimes, childhood pastimes, and even pastime Mahabharatam, and so many other activities of Krishna, all those things, when they heard about that, without any reason, some attraction happened inside. And that is how it comes. And without any cause behind it, some attraction for spiritual life. Some attraction for spiritual life. In this famous Bhagavad Gita commentary called Jnaneshwari, Jnaneshwar talks about this a lot. That all it is that it is whenever they get time, they want to be in the Salsangam. This kind of desire developing inside in a person. Some desire builds up inside to go to Salsangam, to sit there. And after hearing about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, some kind of happiness inside. And imagining about these things sometimes in the mind, what they have heard from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, reflection. Unknowingly it comes to them without any effort. They have heard something and they enjoyed hearing it. And without their own special effort, any effort, sometimes those thoughts coming up inside. And again, to go back and listen again, that kind of desire building up inside. This is all an indication of bhakti, bhakti yogam. Bhakti yogam. So, Jnaneshwari says this, all of these things as an indication of a person that Jnaneshwari expands this in much more. In detail, Jnaneshwari says this. That all these things when you see in a person, Jnaneshwari says, that person will succeed in Bhakti Yogam process. Will succeed in Bhakti Yogam process. So, and if you ask the reason, why is this attraction? No answer. You can't answer that. Why that attraction is? Because it doesn't come from the mind. It doesn't come from the mind. You shouldn't think that it's coming from the mind. You can see that in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, when they spoke about the gopis, this issue comes up there. And Gopi says it like this, that at one stage, gopis came to that level. Patisudhanvaya bradra bandhava adivilangya dendya chudaha gadaha Gedi vidastavod gita mohida kitava yoshida kastya jain nishi. There is a verse in the Gobiya Gita. Pati sudanvaya bradra bandhavaha. Gobis came to that realization that householder life is not important. Children are not important. Husband is not important. Family is not important. Parents are not important. Nothing is important. Gobis came to this conclusion. Pati sudanvaya bradra bandhava. Nothing is important in this world. They came to this realization. This is what happened to the gopis, isn't it? And when that happened, what did they do? They threw away everything and went to see Krishna, isn't it? So, if you ask them, have you not done a wrong thing? They say, we don't know whether you have done right thing or wrong thing. We are going. That's all. That's the answer. If you ask the gopis, haven't you done a wrong thing? That you have thrown away all your responsibility at home? Naturally, in that society, you can imagine how rigid everything was. That women to leave home like that was a difficult thing because everybody followed those rules seriously, isn't it? So they left everything, and that is why Shukha Brahmarshi says in the Bhagavatam, Pati Sutanya, husband, Sutta, children, Bradra Bandhava, brothers, and all other relations, all of them, they threw it away. and they broke all the rules. Adi vilangyade achyudaha gadaha. They broke all the rules and regulations and went to Krishna without any further explanations. And when they asked them, they said, we don't know, we are going, that's all. They went back to Krishna. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Yadrchaya malkadadho. How it happened? Nobody can explain that. It has happened, that's all. Yadrchaya malkadadho. Jada shabdhosya puman na nirvinno nadi sakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. So if you ask them, are they fully detached from everybody? No. Vairagyam has not come. They have not come to that stage yet. They are not like the jnanis, you have to remember. Jnanis, because they have analyzed everything so well inside that they are lost attraction for this world. Gopi's case is not like that. Suddenly one day they felt like that, we are going to Krishna. Some attraction there, that's all it is. Some attraction to Krishna. They didn't know that it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is going to give you liberation and who is going to take you back to the spiritual world. They had no clue. Nothing was in their mind when they went to Krishna. Isn't it? They just decided to leave home and went to see Krishna. So these are two different situations. Whereas the jnani knows very well that there is a goal and that what that goal is very much. So here Krishna is saying this is yadrchaya. Yadrchaya means it has just happened. You can't ask the question why. So, and these gopis, they were living a life, an ordinary life like everybody else in this world. They are enjoying all the happiness of this life in their family life also. In their family life also. And they are householders, isn't it? And they also worked during the day. And no detachment has come from the karma side of it. Gopis generally used to sell their butter, milk and other things, isn't it? That was their occupation, in other words. And if you tell them that, why don't you go back and engage in your karma, what you are supposed to do at home, you are different, then they are saying that, that's not possible, we are not interested. Some kind of detachment from the karma also. So, when you say this third one, we will naturally have a little bit of identification with that, isn't it? Lot of people will feel identification with that because this is what most of the category in this world is. It is this category. I'm talking about people who are normal, ordinary people. That they are not feeling too much attraction for karma, don't have much of a knowledge either, but at the same time some attraction for hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that they are unable to throw away everything, family life, home, everything, and come away like that. That is difficult for them. But at the same time, if you tell them to live like a hardcore materialist, that's also difficult. They're not feeling any attraction for that either. So for them, Krishna defines like this. Yadrchaya malkadhadau jada shraddhastu yappuman nan nurvinno nadi sakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. Three categories. I hope you have understood the three different backgrounds where three different people. So that is where our effort to know where we stand in these things. Where do we stand? That is what we have to ask ourselves. And it is up to us to start from that point wherever we are. In this situation, that if you ask these people that some Shraddha developed to hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, some Bhakti developed, and naturally when through little bit of Shraddha, little bit of Bhakti, you started inquiring further. Some or the other, you started reading more, thinking about it more, asking questions about it more, and you started seeing that there is, it's so very interesting, spiritual life. Because when does one come to spiritual life? When you find that material life doesn't make any sense at the end, isn't it? When you don't get any sense out of material life, that's when you start thinking about spiritual life. The spiritual life makes some sense to most of the people. Some people, spiritual life also don't make any sense. So that, there's nothing you can do about it. But material life doesn't make any sense, and everyone knows that. Even anybody, even those people who are preaching about materialism, even they know that materialism doesn't make any sense at the end. But spiritual life is the answer to that problem. Spiritually, only when it answers the questions. That's why many times devotees will say, I was asking a lot of questions, I got the answers, they say. So therefore I was attracted. Why? It is like that. Spiritual life is like that. So here you can see here that if you ask them that, although it made sense and all that, Vairagyam has not come for them in life. And at the same time, they are not feeling that kind of attachment to work in this world. In other words, neither Vairagyam nor attachment in that way, a sort of situation like that. And that is why many personalities have said this is what is called, many great devotees have said this, this is the first stage in bhakti, that Krishna has pulled you and brought you in front of Bhagavatam. Krishna has done that. You don't know how it happened. When you yourself look back to your own life, initially you may have read or heard something here and there, others were saying Bhagavatam, 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 everybody says Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam. But when you yourself get attracted to Bhagavatam, who is doing that? Krishna does that. Krishna says, come, listen to Bhagavatam. And if you find interest in the Bhagavatam, that is Krishna's grace. Nothing else. It is Krishna's grace that is. Because if you look at the qualifications are concerned, we don't have any qualification. We don't have the knowledge and the realization of the jnani, what we talked about. We don't have that kind of attachment and karma yoga manasthiti, mentality of a karma yogi either, because we are not willing to do much karmam also in this world. We are in between, and we are wandering in this world looking for some direction. What should we do in life? It is at that time, by Krishna's grace, Krishna has brought us in front of Srimad Bhagavatam and told us, you sit here and you listen to this Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Evahi. Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna says, sit in front of this Bhagavatam and hear this Bhagavatam and see if it makes any sense to you. That is Krishna's question. Does it make any sense to you? Krishna is asking us that question. He told also, similarly, so many of the devotees, they have said this, that I didn't know anything before, he said. I was busy with the world. Suddenly one day something happened in life, and Krishna has pulled me and brought me and put me in front of the Bhagavatam and told me to listen to it. And it is only Krishna's grace that is. That is Krishna's grace. Nothing else. You can't explain it in any other way. Now what has happened is that, and you have brought me right up to Bhagavatam, in front of the Bhagavatam, but you are still keeping away from me. The devotee says to Krishna, you brought me in front of Srimad Bhagavatam and you are still staying away from me. And this is a very difficult situation. I can't continue like this. This is the devotee's prayer to Krishna. All the other Goswamis have spoken this, Rupa, Sanatana and others, they have all spoken this, that once they get caught by Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is very difficult to pull out. That taste of the Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. You'll find Bhagavatam's attraction. The attraction of Srimad Bhagavatam is such that it has shown some mercy from Krishna, from Itin, Andaryami, has guided and directed us to come to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna says here, that is one stage in life. Na nurvino na adisakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. Such a person, bhakti yogam will work. Bhakti yogam will work. This is the way it happens. That is what Krishna is saying. So Jnani's case, what happens is that he has developed through his intelligence. And intelligence means he has got that spiritual understanding that this karmam is not solving my problems of life. Karmam is not the answer. Rather, he has studied karmam so well that he knows the after effect of the karmam. And because he knows the dangers involved in the karmam, he has decided to withdraw from the karma. That's what first thing he has done. Secondly, he noticed that what is the result of all the karma that I can enjoy here through the body and the mind, but happiness through the body and the mind is not the solution to the problem. Still, I have to accept another material body, birth, death, old age, diseases remaining there. Even if I go to heavenly planets, from the Shastram he has learned that I have to come back here and accept another material body again. So, Jnani goes in that direction, and because he has come to that stage, Krishna says that very easily he can make the progress, because if he here in that stage, Srimad Bhagavatam from some from a realized soul, if he receives the spiritual knowledge, it will work for him. That is Jnani. Then another side of the person, another personality who is very attracted to work in this world, who is very serious about the material life and who finds it very difficult to give up work, such a person, Krishna says the solution to his problem is that the very secret of the success of his spiritual life lies in its karma itself, in his karma. If that karma is executed properly, without expectation of results, or without getting too attached to the results, and if he is able to pull out of it and free himself from kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, I'm the doer and I'm the enjoyer, little by little he can progress from the karma margam, progress in the karma yogam, and he can make it also a success. So, and finally Krishna is saying that those who does not belong to either of these two, and neither they have the knowledge, nor do they have the enthusiasm for karma. But they are in this world. And they know very well the world is not permanent, temporary. There is not much to be done here. They also know that this happiness that is coming from this world is not something worthwhile chasing after. This is not proper happiness. This realization is there. But at the same time, they find it very difficult to give up the life in this world. If it is all like that, Krishna says, by some chance, if they come across into the association of devotees or able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and if by their good fortune, which means by Krishna's grace, if they develop some taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says for them, Bhakti Yogam is the answer. This is how the three categories spoken here. Three categories, Bhakti Yogosu Siddhida. And this Bhakti Yogam, what Krishna is talking about is Sadhana Bhakti. So, these three yoga systems Krishna has spoken there. And you will see that in the very next verse, how do we know that this is the Sadhana Bhakti? Bhaktiya Sanchadaya Bhaktiya. That means this bhakti process, what Krishna has spoken, there we have seen that when coming to karma yogi, one who is this is here, that in 9 verses in that chapter, that karma yogam Krishna has spoken in 9 verses, that is from verse 9 to verse 16. Verse 9 to 16. He says here that such a person, Taval Karmani Kurvigam Namurvideda Yavata Malkada Shravanadova Shraddha Yavana Jayate. He says that this hearing process, Shravanam, one must continue at the same time, whatever karmam he is doing in this world, he should do that as well. You should do that up to when? Till you develop complete vairagyam inside. Till that vairagyam comes inside. If the vairagyam has come in a natural way, then, and if attraction for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam has become very serious inside, then he can give up karma. That is the way it is. Not before than that. Till proper vairagyam comes inside from the karma, and a lot of attraction has come inside for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That means you have become very serious about Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means Bhagavad Gita also. When you have become like that, then Krishna is saying that then such a, then he is not expected to perform any more karmam in this world. This is the benchmark. Itavat karmani kurvidam na nirvidyet tayavada malkada shravanadova shraddha yavanna jayate. If you got so serious about hearing about Krishna, if you become so serious about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and your attraction has gone for the world, then you can give up karmam. Krishna says you will not be punished for that. Instead, if you give up karmam and think that now that I am started hearing Bhagavatam, but your attraction for karmam has not gone away, vairagyam has not happened, if you give it up, you'll be in trouble. That's why I say, Taval karmani kurvidam na nirvidyeda yavada malkada shravanadavva shraddhayavana jayade. So all these things are important. This is why our own spiritual life, you have to look into your own spiritual life and guide it through all the time. It's necessary. So Krishna says here, up to that time, prior to that, one should not give up karmam. If to that time, till you feel that vairagyam has come inside in a natural way towards karmam, up to that time, karmam should be executed. Here, when Krishna talks about karmam, this karmam is referring to Vaidika Karmanushtanam. Vaidika Karmanushtanam means that based on Varnashrama Dharmam, what one should do. So up to that point, all the karmam should be done. This karmam, what Krishna is referring to here, is not going to office or factory to work. That also you shouldn't misunderstand. When Krishna says karmam here, it refers to nitya karmam. Nitya karmam means that everyone has to follow this, that one has a regulated life in a way which is conducive for spiritual life. That means disciplining oneself in one's own life. Waking up in the morning, early hours in the morning, bathing and keeping oneself clean, following certain principles in life, what Krishna has spoken, and discipline in matters relating to eating, sleeping and other things are concerned. All those, and that anushtanam. Anushtanam means performing their one's duty of towards in spiritual life. And all that, plus whatever to maintain this body in this world, what you are doing that, that also what is necessary has to be done. Up to what time, up to when? That's what Krishna is saying here. Na nirvidyeda yavada. In other words, till you feel you had enough in this. That you are not feeling any more attraction to that kind of karma. In other words, what is important here is that you should not make the fruit by pressing it ripe. Sometimes you can press the fruit a lot and it will become ripe, isn't it? The fruit should become ripe on its own way. If you press it and make it ripe, make it to happen to ripe, then it will cause problems. Similarly, this vairagyam has to come in a natural way from the karma. Natural way, it has to come from there. And you have to wait till then. Otherwise, malkadadau shravanadau, Krishna says there, isn't it? Malkada Sharvanadava Shraddha Yavana Jayade. Otherwise, till you get attraction for hearing about Bhagavatam. Either way. Suppose Vairagyam has come in a natural way, you can give up your work if it has happened in that way. You shouldn't throw away the karma and walk away. But if in a natural way Vairagyam has come, you can give it up, Krishna says. Alternatively, Krishna is saying, if you got attracted to Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita somehow, then you can also give up. That taste has developed. So up to when, he says, Krishna says, that taste has developed and that taste will start growing inside. Inside, the taste for Srimad Bhagavatam will start growing inside. And that taste inside will destroy the world outside. Up to that time, continue doing karma, Krishna says. You can see the state of mind of a person who is in spiritual life. If you look into those two verses, Sodharmasto yajanyaye അനാശി കാമ ഉദ്ധവ നയാദി സ്വർഗനരകോ യദ്യന്യന്ന സമാചരൽ അസ്മിൻ ലോകേ വർത്തമാനം സ്വധർമ്മസ്ഥോ അനഘശുചി ജ്ഞാനം വിശുദ്ധമാപ്നോതി മൽഭക്തിം വാ യദൃച്ഛയാഹ. ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വി മസ്റ്റ് റീഡ് ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ്, വി മസ്റ്റ് തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ആൻഡ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ റൈറ്റ് വേ ഓഫ് ഗോയിങ് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്. Artificially, with your ego, you come and start doing things. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I have so many projects in my mind and this all. That will not work. Krishna is saying there is a way of doing things. Krishna's process is like that. Krishna says that, first of all, he says the three yoga systems. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. Then he says who is ready for Jnanam, who is ready for Karmam, who is ready for Bhakti. He has spoken all that. Then he is saying that, when you come to Bhakti Yogam, that it is possible that you are not ready for it. You still have attraction for karma. And you have not developed that degree of taste for Bhagavatam. You have not developed that yet. If it is like that, Krishna says you should wait. Till from karma you feel that total vairagyam, that I had enough of this karma. It's not making, I don't need it anymore. I had enough of this in life. Let me get on with this life somehow. That kind of thoughts must come from inside. If from inside, Krishna is guiding you in that way, if you feel it that way, because it will happen one day. If you make seriously, start analyzing, that means once you come to spiritual life and you start looking at life from a different way altogether, isn't it? You are looking at life in a different way from the spiritual life. So when you start looking at that way, you start seeing that what is this karma in this world, how important it is for me. Yeah, I'm at a stage in life now, any time I could be gone from here. And why should I be too concerned about it? So, naturally, in a way, you get detached from this world. That is what Krishna is saying there. That is one possibility. The other possibility is that while engaged in this karma, still you have got some attraction for Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. You started seeing some light there, in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, making some sense to life. So, and when that becomes serious, Krishna says, you can give up. You can give up the karma at that time. Up to that time, Krishna says karma must carry on up to that point. Swadharma means Krishna means that whatever karma you do without ragadvesham, without attachment and aversion, and whatever activities what one has to do in this world without creating ragadvesham inside, and keep on doing that without any attachment to the results. But whatever karma is done is for from the world, is for the benefit of maintaining the body. So for that sake, whatever karma has to be done, it has to be done. But while doing that karma, Krishna says, always be watchful that it does not create any ragadvesham and does not create any kind of... It is executed in a state of nisangada. Nisangada means no attachment to the results, in other words. So, if it is done like that, yadarchaya, by chance, it will happen to him according to his samskara. it will come. Because Krishna says here, some people have a bhakti samskara and they will go in that direction, through the direction of bhakti. And others will have jnana samskaram, and for them jnanam will be important. Jnanam will be important. That is what Krishna is saying here. For them, for some people, he says here, asmin loge vartamanam swadharmastho anakha shuchi jnanam vishuddham apnodi mal bhaktim va yadrchaya jnanam vishuddham apnodi mal bhaktim va yadrchaya. So either if he is doing his karma properly, what will happen to him is that he will get some purification inside, and according to his samskaram, that means his culture inside, if he has got bhakti samskaram, he will go towards a bhakti process, and if he has got the jnana samskaram inside, he will go in that direction. He will go in that direction. Krishna says like that. That is what it says here. Jnanam vishuddham apnodi Madhaktim va yadrchaya. Madhaktim va yadrchaya. Krishna says, Madhaktim va yadrchaya. So, jnanam vishuddham, vishuddham apinodi malbhaktim va yadrchaya. Malbhaktim va yadrchaya. So, generally, Krishna is saying, from Krishna's point of view, that this is the way to go in spiritual life. Three yoga systems and three nature of the people, three different nature. You can see all these type of people in this world. If you carefully observe, you have some observing nature, you will see people belonging to all the three different categories in this world. Some people have that attraction for Jnana Margam, somebody has attraction for the Karma Margam, somebody has attraction for the Bhakti Margam. So what Krishna is saying here, that when that will happen, it will be very difficult to say. One has to very closely monitor himself. Monitor himself. Just like you can see Shabari, remember in Ramayana you will see Shabari. Shabari had to wait a very, very long time to meet Ramachandra. Madanga Maharshi told Shabari, one day Ramachandra will come to the forest, you will meet him. Shabari has never heard about Ramachandra before. It was Madanga Maharshi's association. Many, many years have passed. By now Madanga Maharshi has left, his disciples have left, ashram has gone away from there. Shabari took that instruction from Madanga Maharshi very seriously and waited, saying that Krishna, Ramachandra will come one day. With the hope, she lived in the forest, isn't it? And all what did she had no knowledge, nothing. She was just an ordinary person belonging to the hunter race in the forest. She was used to, she had no Vedic knowledge, no attraction to any kind of Vedic philosophy, never heard Srimad Bhagavatam or anything, knows that side. She also doesn't know what karma means, karma yoga means, nothing, no knowledge. They lived in the, just lived in the forest. But it so happened that somehow she used to go and clean this place of the ashram. She used to sweep the floor in front of the ashram and clean up every day. One day Madanga Maharshi asked the brahmacharis, who comes and does this every day? And brahmachari said, one woman from the forest, hunter woman, she comes and does this, he said. So one day, next day, Madanga Maharshi saw her and told Shabari that you stay here and one day Ramachandra will give you, come and see you, and you will have the opportunity to get this association with Ramachandra. Just on the words of Madanga Maharshi, Shabari decided to stay in the forest, isn't it? And so Shabari stayed a very, very long time waiting for Ramachandra to come. And finally, one day Ramachandra came. By then others have all gone from there. So at that time, what was Shabari's mood? Shabari did everything what she had to do in a normal life, whatever she had to do to maintain herself. She did that and lived in that way. And Krishna says here that in a similar way, one should live in this world. We have to do what we have to do. And finally, when the right time comes, completely give up this business here. Completely give up the business here. So, so that approach like Shabari, which means that I am not asking for self-realization or knowledge or bhakti or liberation, anything, but I will stay where I am and I am willing to tolerate all the distress what comes in life, whatever happiness or distress, and without any complaint to Krishna to live in this world. That is the mood of Shabari. Shabari's mood was like that. Not complaining about anything, everything that was given, accepted every day like that and waiting like that. That this is normal spiritual life, to accept things that, to say that that difficulties are coming in life every minute from every side, but to tolerate it, not to complain about it, that is surrender. That is surrender. Not to react to situations all the time, because that is the most unfortunate thing. That means that the mind is not listening. Mind is questioning everything. We are hearing and it is all going in, but mind is not listening. But when we can accept it, this is what Krishna has put me in today, in this situation. I am accepting it that way. That is surrender. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. There is, this mind is the whole problem, isn't it? Mind is pushing us open. Mind says, why should you accept it? Why should I tolerate this? If you accept it that way, then it's very difficult. But then, Krishna, there are many, many examples. There was one famous sannyasi who was, he was a great personality, and at his end of his life, the whole leg got swollen so badly. It got swollen due to diabetes and so many others. So one devotee came to see him and asked him that when he looked at this sannyasi, Swamiji, he was in severe pain, suffering heavily with the body. Body was giving a lot of trouble to him. And even at that time, within himself, he was reflecting on Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and finding some pleasure from that. Body is giving trouble, what can I do? Let it go its own way. So this devotee, seeing this mood of this sannyasi, says to him, how is that possible you are able to be like this, even when all these problems are happening? So much problem with the body, and in spite of that, you are still able to remain in this state, he says to him. So this Swamiji says to him that, you know, this butcher, when he takes the goat and when he's going to cut the throat of the goat, does the butcher ask the goat, I'm going to cut your throat, is that okay? Does the butcher ask the goat? He doesn't ask, does it? Never he asks anything. He just takes the knife and cuts the throat. And he will put the knife wherever he wants on the body of the goat. Similarly, this body is Krishna's property. Is Krishna's property. And Krishna will cut it sometimes in so many places, wherever he wants, in so many different ways. And that is all Krishna is the butcher at that time. And this body is Krishna's body. And we have no right to ask Krishna that, you have no right to ask Krishna why you are doing this to this body, and that is a symptom of a devotee. That's the symptom of a devotee, no complaint about it. No complaint about it. So that is why Krishna says that first class devotee, for him, he has no apeksha. He has no apeksha. And no complaint also, and does not insist that everything should be according to his plan, things should happen. Wherever Krishna has put you, in whatever situation Krishna has put you, whatever it may be, I will not complain about it and I will not ask for anything. If you stay like that, Krishna says that at some point in time, in his mind, parabhakti, the proper bhakti, parabhakti or jnanam, or knowledge of the self, will come up within his heart. And when it manifests like that, that devotee, he will not take notice of it when that happens in him. This is the stage of mind of a person in whom Krishna manifests. That means he is willing to tolerate everything. Willing to tolerate everything. When problem happens to the body or to the mind, he is still able to take it that is how Krishna wants it to happen. And Krishna is doing what he wants to do with this body. It is Krishna's property. And when he does that, I have no question. Anything can happen with this body. You cannot do anything about it. It can come in different ways. We will try so many ways of fixing it, but it's not necessary it will get fixed. It may one day it will not get fixed. You keep on fixing it, but one day it will not get fixed anymore, it will go. So, best thing is to accept that, that it is not going to get fixed one day, it's going to go, and therefore not to complain about it a lot, and accept it whatever that comes. So, if we say like that, if we live like that in this life, at one some point in time, Krishna says that to such a person, the knowledge of the self or that para-bhakti Krishna has spoken will come up within his own heart. That is the background of that jnanam and bhakti. And even when that happens, that devotee will not get affected by that, he says. And also, he will still continue his vyavaharam in this world. But when he executes vyavaharam, it will not be causing any kind of waves inside. He will be unaffected by that. And whatever has to happen will happen in its own way. Whatever happen will happen its own way. So therefore, Krishna says that so if you stay in the place where Krishna has put you, things will happen the way it has to happen. Things will happen just to happen. And in without cultivating any desires or illusion inside, Krishna says, wherever Krishna has put us in whatever situation that is, keep on doing that, and without feeling the distress from that, and mentally any problems affected by that, simply live the life in that way. And there is in the Shastram a statement, if you live like that, in a way, like this, in this way, 12 years, if you live like that, Krishna says there that you will see the result happening. Tolerating everything, what comes in life, without questioning, accepting as it is, this is what Krishna has put me. That means a kind of surrender inside, not questioning anything what Krishna has given to you. These are all sadhana actually in the bhakti process. That wherever Krishna has put us, accept it like that. And about 12 years, if you live like that, you will see the result. That's what Shastram says. Says like that. Because their point is, 12 years is not a very long time. The reason is, he said, that you are spending more than wasting your time, 12 years of your life at the school, don't you? Wasted 12 very good years in life at the school. What did we gain from that? Some people have got some title. And that's also waste, isn't it? Some people didn't have any title, that's also same. Whether you got the title or no title, doesn't matter. It's all waste at the end. So the point is that then, so 12 years, you won't get any certificate in this way. You won't get any certificate. And not to make anybody else convinced about that. And there won't be any progress report or anything, like at the school. Nothing will be there. But at least these 12 years, if you live a life like this, not competing with others, keep it to yourself and being satisfied within that. A certain degree of satisfaction inside all the time, not aspiring for so many things in this world and feeling fully satisfied with Krishna's plans and accepting that it is Krishna who has put us in that side. So, and that situation, that is what. In the Bhagavadam you will see this in the very beginning. That is the person who should read Bhagavadam. Where does it say? Where does it say in the Bhagavadam, the very beginning itself? Dharma projida kaida votra paramo Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. That nirmatsaranam satam, that's what it means. Malsaryam means competing in the world, isn't it? Rat race, going into the world to race with everybody else, competing with everyone. I have to get this, I have to get that. Freedom from that, living in that way. That is what Krishna says. Nirmatsaranam satam. Say, we can see in this world also, there is prime ministers and ministers and the teachers, students, so many things in these different roles we have to play here. But whatever it may be, whatever prarabdham has put us in some place, in some position in this world, accepting it like that, and instead of running around all over the world thinking that I have so many commitments, and finally creating a lot of problems to yourself, and finally in a very disturbed state, leaving this body from this world, leaving this body in this world. Everybody has their prarabdham and problems. Everybody has in this world prarabdham and the problems. It is only thing is, it's different kind of prarabdham. Some people have prarabdham with the body. Some people have prarabdham with the mind. Some people have family prarabdham. And some people have some other prarabdham in some different form. But prarabdham is there. You can't write it out. In some form, it will come. So, to be situated in the middle of all prarabdham, that's what Krishna is saying. You may be in the middle of all the prarabdham, and then he says here, Sodharmastu, you'll see, Sodharmastu Anakashuchi. See that words, what Krishna has used there? Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchi. That is the verse 11. Asmin Loke Vartamanam. Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchi. When Krishna says these things, and if you read the translation, you may think, oh, that's not very difficult, isn't it? The translation says it's very simple. You just read like that. But what it implies, all these things. Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchi. Anakha Shuchi. So here, that if you, a lifestyle where you feel that you have decided to come to spiritual life. So what's the next thing? Next thing is to accept this. That Krishna has put me in this situation, doesn't matter wherever it is, whatever it may be. All of us are in different situation in this world, isn't it? So it doesn't matter. But even in that situation, this is where Krishna has put me. If you accept that, that itself is the first surrender. Instead thinking that, no, I can't have spiritual life here, I have to go all the way to Himalaya for my spiritual life. That means it's not your surrender, there's no surrender there. That means you are still, your mind is dictating from inside. Mind is dictating from inside. So first thing Krishna says, Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchihi. That, Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchihi. So, that on your own, he says, Asmin Loge Vartamanam Sodharmastu Anakha Shuchi. That don't do any karmam unless as unnecessarily create yourself any new karmam. No other extra responsibility, don't accept it on your own head. What you cannot cope with it. And it has come and you went behind after something, you went after something and you said, oh, if I do all these things, it will be a good thing. And you start doing things like that. If you live like that, Krishna says that yadarchayam, yadarchaya. You see, Krishna finishes that verse also with yadarchaya. Jnanam vishuddham apnodi madbhaktim va yadarchaya. So, yadarchaya. In other words, most unexpectedly, Krishna says, because all your expectations is in the plane of the mind, isn't it? It is through the mind you are expecting a lot of things, plan making for the future. What should happen from 10 years from now, 20 years from now, so many different, and plans for the family, plans for the your own retirement, plans for so many things you are making in life, is it not? So all this plan making is in your platform of the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul, is it not? So Krishna is saying here, that if you throw away all these expectations or plan making in your mind, the knowledge is already there. Knowledge is already there. So where did that come from? Sometimes we ask him that this knowledge which is already there inside, it will start coming out. What's happening now is, due to our planning business that is going on, the self-realization is not happening. Although you may have heard Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we still feel that I'm not experiencing anything. The reason for that is this, that we have developed so many desires and so many plans in our mind, and we have made ourselves convinced about that. If I don't do all these things, I'm going to suffer. And therefore, you are trying to practice spiritual life along with all our other plans. And that is why the problem is happening. Krishna is saying like that. Krishna says, if you don't do these things, what is not necessary for life, and rather develop the attitude in karma in such a way that what is necessary, basic for the body, you do it and leave it at that. And yadrachayamal kadadau, somehow there some attraction came to Krishna's instructions. And if you go in that direction, Krishna says, bhakti or jnanam in a natural way will come from inside. It will come from inside. That is Krishna's point. It's a very important statement. Isn't it? It's a very important statement. Krishna says that in a natural way, jnanam is there. Natural way, bhakti is there in everybody. That's the point. In a natural way, it will come. But what's happening is, we have put a lot of block in front of that with all our plans and with all our planning and our desires, what has come in between. So that is the importance of those verses. And there Krishna is saying that that in the 12th and 13th verses, that is what he is saying. After saying all these things, Krishna says, human body has got one special advantage. He says, human body has a special advantage. Why? Jnanam and bhakti develops in the human body better. Has got the capacity to develop knowledge and bhakti. And therefore, in two verses, Krishna is going to glorify about the human body. Same Krishna who tells us to look at the body and realize that this is aparaprakriti and it is always changing and it has got all the problems of birth, death, old age and disease, and that Krishna is glorifying the human body. He says here, Svarginopyedam icchandi logam nirayanastatha sadhana sadhakam jnana bhaktibhyam ubhayam tadasadhakam na nara surgadim kanksha naragim va vichakshana nemam lokamcha kankshayada deha veshal pramadyadi. Those two verses. He says here, those in the heavenly planets, even they want to come to this world for spiritual knowledge. You may ask this question, why? Isn't it? Somebody who is in the heavenly planet, he wants to come to earthly planet for spiritual life. Do you know why that is? What the reason? Reason is this. In the heavenly planets, because the comforts of heavenly life is such that there is no distress. And when there is no distress, what Brahma Vidya will go in? Which Brahma Vidya will go into a person who is absorbed in heavenly happiness? That is why in the Bhagavatam you see, Krishna says to Indra, come to spiritual world, don't waste your time here. If you live here, you will have always problem with the demons. Hiranyaksha will be there, Hiranyakashipu will be there, and then others like Taragasura, so many asuras names mentioned there, isn't it? Pratrasura, they will all come and they will all want your position. So why don't you give up and come back to the spiritual world? Indra says, no, I'm okay here. If you can just help me now to get this little problem sorted out, that's enough and I'll stay here. So Indra is our representative actually. We are also like that, isn't it? We are also saying to Krishna, if you can just sort this out for me here, and then we will see later. And that later, as much as possible, we will postpone it, isn't it? So this is the reason why, because they know very well in the heavenly planets to realize the self is very difficult because there is no distress. If you go to hellish planets, because there is so much distress, it's not possible to realize the self. Because that's also other side of it, isn't it? Other extreme. That is why this earthly planet, which is a both the happiness and distress is there. So that is the beauty of the earthly planet. That's why it is like that. This human body also in the same way. If you have a body of the heavenly planet where it is very healthy and you have all kinds of sensual pleasures, where is the question of spiritual life going to come? It's not going to happen. Equally, if you go to the hellish planets where your body is subjected to all kinds of distress, where will the spiritual life will be? It will not happen. Whereas this is that body suitable for that. It has got a certain capacity to tolerate things. It has got a certain capacity to cultivate knowledge, spiritual knowledge. It has got a certain capacity to execute bhakti. Execute bhakti. So these three yoga systems fits in well with the human body. With the human body. And that is the reason why Krishna is saying this. That even they want to come here. Swargino pyedam ichandi. Even those who are from the heavenly planets want to come here. Why? Logam nirayanastatha sadhakam jnana bhaktibhyam abhayam tada sadhakam. So that the one who lives in the heavenly planet, because normally people, what do they think? They think when we talk about this world, we think that, oh, at least if you go to heavenly planets, maybe it will be easier to engage in spiritual life. No, it's not. When you go to spiritual heavenly planets, what will happen is our nature will change. Our nature will change. Why go to heavenly planets? Even in this world, our nature can change like this. Isn't it? All what has happened is, suppose you took a lottery ticket, it's Wednesday in 2 days' time, and in the evening when the numbers came, our numbers, 5 million pounds or 10 million pounds, what will you say? We'll say, all salsangam can wait. It can wait, because that will be the... I don't have to work anymore, first relief. So much money. Whole money, even if you spend the whole life, you cannot spend it. So what will be the first thing? You won't be going to Kedarnath or Badrinath, would you? You'll be making your round the world ticket with a 4-5 star hotels all over the world, book for accommodation to friends and the family, everybody, and enjoy life for a few months. And then when you'll say one day, well, when I'm ready, I'll come to spiritual life. So even if it can happen in this world, with a small success like that, want to talk about heavenly planets. What will happen there? You can imagine that. The moment we get there, we will forget about Krishna. Isn't it? There will be no spiritual life. There will be nothing. Everything will be forgotten. So that is why Krishna is saying here, even they want to, when sometimes in their thoughts it comes about spiritual life, they want to come here to this world. Because this is the right environment for spiritual life, this world. Right environment for spiritual life. That is why Krishna is saying that. That is why Krishna is saying that. He's not saying without any reason. Sargino pyedam ichandi logam nirayinastatha sadhagam janamaktibhyam ubhayam tadasadhagam nanara surgadim kankshan naragim vavijakshana nemam logam jakangsheda dehaveshal pramadyadi. He says, person, human body, who has got proper discrimination. Just like he does not want to go to hellish world, hellish planets, where he has to suffer heavily. There, he does not want to go there. Similarly, he should not desire for the heavenly planets either. So if it is like that, Krishna is saying that imam logam cha nakankshet, that person should be so intelligent, Krishna says, he should not desire for the heavenly planets. He should not desire for the hellish planets, and more than anything else, he should not desire for even the earthly planet. Only when these three desires have gone away from inside, then Krishna says he is ready for spiritual life. He is ready for spiritual life. I am sure if you analyze this within your own mind, you can see the logic in that clearly, isn't it? It is not just a Krishna is saying something and we just listen to it. No, not like that. Krishna is saying for these reasons you should give up your desire for heavenly planets. For these reasons you should give up your desire for hellish planets. And for these reasons you should give up your desire for earthly planet and the human body also. That is how Krishna brings us to that understanding. That's the way it is spoken there. You can see that. Then he says like that, isn't it? That imam lokancha nakankshet. You should not desire even this world either. Why? Deha veshal pramandiri. The problem with this world is identification with the body is very strong. Deha veshal pramadyadi. Because of attachment to the body, pramadam builds up. Pramadam means illusion. Illusion builds up in the mind very strongly in this body. In the heavenly planets, it doesn't happen like that. Because heavenly planet, the body is in a comfortable state. Sense gratification is very high. And therefore, because the body is far better than this, you will not feel such an attachment like the way we feel today here. Not only that, sattvagunam is prominent in the heavenly planets. What is the result of that? Sattvar sanjayate jnanam. Knowledge will come from that. Whereas what does this body does to us? This body, because it is in rajogunam, it engages in karma, isn't it? Creates desires inside karma. That is the nature of this body. So Krishna's point is, look at the three planetary systems. Look at the three modes of nature operating. Whereas hellish planets is full of tamogunam and misery, total misery. Naturally, that is also not a very nice situation. Total misery and tamogunam. Knowledge cannot build up there. That is a state there. Here it is rajogunam, majority of rajogunam and a little bit of tamogunam. But here the problem is attachment to the body because of the deha veshal pramadyadi, Krishna says. Here the problem is your attachment to the body builds up very strongly here. This is the problem in this body. So you have to look at, sometimes when you get time, you should analyze this about the what is the advantage of a heavenly body, a body in the higher planets, what sort of life that will be. You should think yourself about that and get yourself convinced that a heavenly body also is not of much of a big thing to look forward to. Even that is not going to solve the problem, because when the life in the heavenly planet is over, you have to come back to you are still within the cycle of karma. You are not freed yourself. You have to come back and accept another body here, isn't it? That means you are not free yet from the karmic cycle. From the karmic cycle. Similarly, if you analyze the human body, you can see the problem. Because of the rajogunam and also because of the deha veshal pramadyadi, Krishna says, that attachment to the body and identification with the body is very strong here in this world. Identification is very strong. Because of that, pramadam, illusion builds up inside that I am this body, and from that all other problems. So this body is not suitable also for spiritual life because of this identification. After saying that, and that person who does not have that, Krishna says, who does not have that, they have a shal pramadyadi. So here you can see, see this word, they have very important words there. If you analyze it properly, you will see the beauty of that. When you say Dehavesha Pramadyadi, what Krishna is saying here, you are saying now, I am born, isn't it? You are saying that you are born. What does that mean? It means that you are accepting that this body exists. Is it not? You are accepting that this body is existing. The moment you have accepted that the body is existing, it is on the strength of this body you are saying that I am born. Are you getting that point? See, as far as Krishna is concerned, body doesn't exist. I've said this so many times, and it is a very hard thing for most of the people to accept, isn't it? That body doesn't exist. From Krishna's point of view, body doesn't exist. Only soul exists. Atma exists. Brahman exists. Body doesn't exist. But what's happening now for us? We are saying that this body, we are already accepting that it is born. And therefore, I am born. It is on the strength of this that we are saying there is rebirth. In Vedic philosophy, we talk about rebirth, isn't it? So, when we say this, this is interesting. If you analyze this properly, it's very, very interesting. Followers of Vedic philosophy talks about rebirth, is it not? Every other religious process in this world, they say to us, to the followers of Vedic culture, they say, so in your religion, you take birth again, don't you? They ask this question. All the time they ask this question. And we have to explain to them about rebirth, and they find it very difficult to understand that, isn't it? Because majority of the people haven't understood this rebirth properly, first of all, what this rebirth means. So, this rebirth is a topic often discussed among the scholars. So, normally, the general impression among the public is that it's only in the Vedic tradition this rebirth is spoken. Only in the Vedic tradition rebirth is spoken. Other religions don't accept rebirth, isn't it? For example, in Islam or Christianity, they don't, or Judaism, they don't accept the way we accept about rebirth, isn't it? So they will say, so this is general impression among the people. But the reality is just the opposite. Reality is just the opposite. Let me explain why it is like that. In all other religion, they believe that after death, they go and accept another body in another world, in heavens or in the higher planets, isn't it? Higher planets. For us, that is not the final destination. What's happening for us is, Krishna is saying, na jayate, na mriyate. This vastu inside, it doesn't take birth, it doesn't die. In other words, our understanding is, there is no rebirth for us. Actually, it is only in Vedic philosophy, there is no rebirth. In all other religions, there is rebirth. Because as far as they are concerned, after leaving this body, they go to heavenly planets or higher planets somewhere, wherever the religion talks about heaven or whatever. And they will take another birth there. Because you are not going to go with this body, are you? You are going to leave this body here. That means they are saying that there is rebirth. What we are saying is, na jayate mriyate. There is no rebirth. It doesn't take birth after all. Taking birth is not its problem. It doesn't take birth. Na jayate, na mriyate. And it doesn't die either. This is where the difference is. That is the first thing. In Vedantam, especially in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Krishna's point. Na jayate, na mriyate. It doesn't have birth, it doesn't have. Then who is dying? Ahankaram is dying. Your false ego is dying. That is what is called death. And if the false ego didn't die, then you go and take another birth. False ego takes the birth. You don't die, you don't take birth. Na jayade, na mriyade. Vakadajil, nayam bhutva, bhavido, vanabhuya. Ajaha, nityaha, shashudaha, puranaha, nahanyade, hanyamane, sharire. That is what that verse is important. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says that, then it is wrong to think that everything has to be connected with after death. Why should it be? Why has it to be that after death only everything will happen? This is like any other religion saying. That is where Vedic literature is telling us, it's not after death. Right now, here itself, you have no death. Na jayate, na mriyate. This is a very important point. Only then you can say that you have accepted Krishna's words. Whereas if you keep on saying that everything is after death, it's very easy to say that, isn't it? Oh, he has gone back home back to Godhead. She has also gone back home back to Godhead. Everybody is going back home back to Godhead. You can easily make a statement like that. That's very simple. Anybody can do that, isn't it? Where is the difference there? Where's the difference? Like Christians can also say, Muslims can also say, Jews can also say that they've all gone back home back to Godhead. We can also say they've all gone back home back to Godhead. Krishna is not agreeing with that. Krishna is saying right now here, there's no such thing called a death. That's more important than anything else. This is more important. Na jayate na mriyate va kadachin. And who is actually, death doesn't exist in him. Soul is concerned, Atma is concerned, there is no such thing called a death for him. This realization is more important than the birth and death of the false ego. False ego is taking birth, false ego is dying, false ego is taking birth. That is why Vedic philosophy is not only talking to you something from the air. It is telling you a whole history of our existence, including our karma, including our subtle body, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam, and the whole activities of all these things together, how it is as a unit functioning. And unfortunately, Krishna is saying to us that the moment you identify with the body, all these problems started. Which one? Birth, death, birth, death. The moment you came out of the identification, it's all finished there itself. Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidvan sapnat yadotida. Adehastobi na dehasta. Kumadi sapna drgyatha. That is Krishna's brain, intelligence. Krishna's questions are so logical. And when you see that, it is based on this, all other acharyas also has accepted Krishna as the Jagadguru, isn't it? Krishna Mande Jagadguru. That Jagadguru's position is like this. Krishna's Jagadguru position is this, that there is no other. And this Vedic tradition has survived on this principle for such a long time in this world. And even today, people are still deriving this knowledge and enjoying that knowledge and living on this knowledge. Because it does not satisfy us. Something promised to me that after death I'll go somewhere. That is more or less like a post-dated check. Isn't it? Is it not? So many promises can be made in the name of Shastram also. But Krishna's point is, Krishna is saying to us that this is the right thing, Uddhava, that right now in this world, here itself, you should realize the truth and let the body, allow the body to go, let it go. Let the body go its own way. And all this knowledge what Krishna has spoken is to train us in this way, not to train in the way of thinking about life after death. Because if you accept this principle of life after death, then there is not practically any difference between the Vedic philosophy and all other philosophies. They are also offering you the same thing. Okay, for a Christian faith, it will be in one way. For Islamic faith, it will be a different way. You can see often all the time the discussion about it in this world, is it not? And because they say, oh, we don't believe in rebirth. You believe in rebirth, they say to us. We are saying, because we have not understood it ourselves properly, so we say, yeah, we believe in rebirth. So that means then they will ask you the next question, oh, will you become a dog in the next life? He says, yeah, it's possible. Oh, I'm not going to become a dog in next life. All these kind of useless discussions we do. All the time this goes on, isn't it? We discuss with people, this kind of. And when you talk to first time, you'll come across people like this kind of questions. Then they'll ask all kinds. So some people are saying, we'll go there and make our life very happy there. There's plenty to enjoy there. So in the promise, there's a history about that in Muhammad Nabi when he wanted to, when he told people that whoever is following him in Arabia at that time, when he was talking to them, they were not listening. They were all old men who were sitting there. So they were thinking that there's nothing much in this world anyway. So finally, Nabi told them that if you go there, that's where everything is. All happiness, everywhere. But you have to fight the war for that here, he said. All they took their swords and ready to fight, it seems. So the history is there in their literature. You'll find these things mentioned. So people want something, but it is difficult sometimes that you may not get it, but so you start thinking that maybe after death it will all happen. Everything is going to happen after death. And in that Brahman, we live in this world. That is why it is mentioned here like this, that that the first important thing is, Krishna says, he says that there is no such thing called Najayade, Mriyade, Vakadachil. That, because that is how Krishna begins the instruction, is it not? Bhagavad Gita begins with these verses. Nothing takes birth, he says, and nothing dies. Nothing dies. So here, what does that mean? Why does Krishna say like that? He says, na jayate na mriyate va kadachit. Because in a relative plane, it is only a recognition, these things, which one, this birth and death. Is completely on a relative plane, you are recognizing something. What is that relative plane? Relative plane is the plane of this body and the mind and the ego. It is in that plane you are recognizing this birth and death, but not in the absolute plane. On the absolute plane, Atma has no birth. Atma has no birth. So here, Krishna says here, on absolute level means paramarthikam. Relative level means that in a dream state. It's only in a dream state you are recognizing all these things. Is it not? In the deep sleep, is there a rebirth? In the deep sleep, is there another existence? No. It's only when you come to the bodily identity, in the platform of the body and the mind, you are talking about this rebirth. Is it not? So, because you are talking about rebirth only in the platform of the body and the mind, it also exists only in the platform of the body and the mind. You see? When we two people are talking about religion, and one, you will see sometimes very big professors sitting in the television studio and discussing, this religion says like this, that religion says like this, and scientist who doesn't believe in any religion, he says that, oh well, you can see from the face itself that he has no interest in anything to hear about the religion. Because if you present religion in this way, what can you do? They will take it like this, isn't it? So he does not want to talk about religion. As far as he is concerned, only body is the reality. Nothing else is the reality. So there, Krishna's point is that all this is on a relative platform. Which one? This birth, death, everything is on a relative platform. And that is why, and if you accept that, what will happen is, Dehaveshal Pramadyadi. Pramadyadi. He says, you can see there, Dehaveshal Pramadyadi. This is what it is. Dehaveshal Pramadyadi. That is the explanation for those two words. Nanarasurgadim kanksha, naragim kwa vichakshanaha, nemam lokam chakamsheda. Deha veshal pramadyadi. If you accept all these things, this birth, death and things like that, deha veshal pramadyadi, and that is the problem with this human body. That's what Krishna is saying like that there. So, therefore, he says here, and because deha veshal pramadyadi means you have accepted that the body is a real thing. Body is a real thing. And Krishna is saying, body is not real. Body is not real. As far as Krishna is concerned, body is not real. And we are saying, if you have accepted the body, because once you have accepted birth and death, that means you have accepted the body. Is it not? And if you have accepted the body, Dehaveshal Pramadyadi, you will again fall into the same trap. He says, and you will continuously fall down in spiritual life. Because you have fallen away from the spiritual status. You have fallen away to the level of the body. You will continuously fall down from that state. Krishna says, and because of this mood, what you have inside, that I am, this body is a reality. Body is a reality. Now, if you look into Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions in the 28th chapter, if you look into Bhagavatam, you see this Ekadasha Skandam, if you are not completely focused on that, you will get bored with it. That's the problem with it. If you're not completely focused on that, you'll get bored with it. You will say, oh, what is this? Krishna is saying one thing one time and another. Just have to get that subtlety of that verses. Only then you will start appreciating Ekadasham. If you look there in the 28th chapter, I think, it is in the 28th chapter, there Krishna is saying that as far as he is concerned, as far as Krishna is concerned, body is not real. It's an absolute thing as far as Krishna is concerned. Body is not real. And therefore what he says is that you look into that verses there, that third verse, Taijasi nidrayavanne pindasto nashta jevana mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha drupuman. There is a 4 or 5 very heavy verses. And when you read through those verses, you start wondering, what is Krishna talking about? Naturally, this question will come. Generally, what happens is, people read these verses, and then they start thinking, these verses are, is not making any sense to us. It's very difficult. Because it's spoken from such a high level, and spoken by Krishna himself. Yeah? He's saying, Taijase nidrayabhane pindasto nashta chedana mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha dhuk puman. So he says that when the senses, due to the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, it takes it to the dream body. It gets into the dream body. And finally, when the mind also gets dissolved, every day mind also gets, and he becomes like lifeless practically, isn't it? Lifeless. And he goes into the deep sleep state. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when one is mayam prapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha druk puman, if he is not seeing this oneness of the truth everywhere in the form of Atma, he is gone, Krishna is saying. He is finished. Just see Krishna's words. You have to see the gravity of that statement. Krishna is saying, if you have fallen into the concept of the body, and you have moved away from vacant state to dream state to deep sleep, and in the deep sleep state, that mind which was causing you all the problems and creating your dream state, and the body which was busy with its vacant state, which neither of them are true, which is proven by the deep sleep state, and if you are falling back into that body again, justifying the birth and death of that body, Krishna says, what does it mean? His answer is, tadvat nanartha druk puman. That personality, Krishna is saying here, he will fall down continuously, vichevam and layam. Nanartha druk puman. So because sushupti, this three states of existence, jnanamargam, and all this ekadasham is centered about this, around these three states. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. And you will see continuously back and forth in different verses, Krishna bringing them in and changing them and making them in a different angle looking at it. Krishna is saying here that Taijase nidrayavane pindasto nashta jedana. That means that when you get into dream state, jiva, living entity, false ego, it goes into a kind of maya. That is going on in the dream world, isn't it? In the dream world, whatever you experience has no meaning. We know, that's why we call it as a dream. And when you wake up, what do you say? Oh, I had a dream. And then you don't remember it, you leave it behind. And the same person, he says, pindasto nashta chedana. He says that, that when he goes into deep sleep state, again you are not conscious of yourself. Only thing when you come out of the deep sleep is that you had a happy time. But you are not conscious about yourself, were you? You didn't know what you were, even. That is what is called pindasto nashta chedana. So, taijase nidrayavane, in the dream state, you are carried away by the dream state. And by the dream state and the activities of the dream, what was happening then? Pindasto nashta chedana. In the deep sleep state, nashta chedana, you have lost yourself. You don't know even what was going on practically. You didn't know what was going on. That is called nashta chedana. Nashta chedana means that your consciousness was not knowing what was going on. But you know one thing, that when you came out, that there was a happy state. So these two states are like Krishna saying, maya prapnodi mrityumva tadvat nanartha druk puman. He says, maya prapnodi mrityumva. If it is like this in the dream state and the deep sleep, he's saying, If you are in the vacant state, what all nonsense is going on there, he says, in the vacant state. Maya prapnodi murtim va, and this death and birth is when in the vacant state, is it not? You are so-called, we lament, we celebrate birth big way. About what? In the vacant state. You don't celebrate your birthday in your dream state, do you? Or in the deep sleep. Some people who are too absorbed in the birthday, I think they celebrate in the dream state also. But Krishna's point is this, that your so-called celebration of birth and death is also only in the vacant state. Maya prapnodi mithvam mrityumva. Why? Because Maya's grip is very powerful in that state. Tadvat nanartha druk puman. The great personality is nanartha druk. He does not know what he is doing. That's what Krishna is saying. In the vacant state. So you don't know what you are doing in the vacant state. You are completely driven by the dream state, not knowing anything what's happening there. Nor you have any identity in the deep sleep state. Krishna is saying like that. And because it is like that, because these three states are also products of Maya, Krishna does not accept even the existence of this gross body. Only if you are in that state, he could conduct Mahabharata war. That is why when people are getting slaughtered and butchered all around, right, left and center, Krishna is smiling there, standing there. Because as far as he is concerned, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. This is his state. That is Krishna's state. Yani state. All realized souls state. It's like that. Body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist as far as they are concerned. And that is what Krishna is driving us to. Na jayate, na mriyate. But when Krishna says, what do we think? We think a soul is something like inside a small particle somewhere, sitting somewhere in the corner. And na jayate, mriyate. Theoretically we have understood, is it not? We have understood everything theoretically. We understood, we are spirit soul. Somebody told us, yes, you are spirit soul. Okay, I am spirit soul. But as soon as there is a little pain in the body, I am not spirit soul anymore. It's changed. So everything is changed in the equation. So like this, that is not good enough. Krishna is saying that, na jayate, this has to realize inside us, that I am someone who has no birth, no death. And this is exactly what Shukha Brahma Rishi did to Parikshita also at the end. He brought him to this state, na jayate, na mriyate. That's all what happened to Parikshita also, isn't it? Parikshita also. So all these are lot of things in Ekadasham to think, lot of things to reflect. And when you start going along with Krishna, you will see the beauty of Ekadasham. Ekadasham's beauty is this, that it is making you realize every moment how foolish we are. That's what Ekadasham does basically. We are living in a complete ignorant world, totally in ajnanam and avidya. And we are thinking, oh, everything is fine, it's all going to be okay one day. It's not going to be okay one day, nothing is going to be okay one day, till this consciousness is woken up inside. And that is why many verses in that 20th chapter, kim badram, kim abadram va, dvaidasya vastuda kiyal, vajodidam tad anurdam, manaso dhyadam eva va, Chaya pratyahvaya bhasa asarto pyarthagarinaha evam dehadeyo bhava yachandyam rtido bhayam almaivatadidam vishwam srijyade srijadi prabhu trayade tradi vishwalpa kriyade haradishwara. Who else can speak like this? Because it is coming from Krishna, you have to accept it, you have no choice. Because it is coming from the most subtle level, this understanding. All the great sages, great jnanis, great yogis, they all followed this, they realized it, and they made their spiritual life successful. We have no other choice except to follow the same footsteps. We can't make our own way in spiritual life. We have to follow the way given to us by the authority. That is the way to go in spiritual life. Spiritual life is centered around their realization. It's the strength of their realization that is driving us. If what Krishna says, that must be the truth. If the acharyas are saying, the great jnanis are saying that this is the truth, nothing else is the truth. You can, externally you can do so many things, but that is no use. That will come and go. Every day so many people are doing so many things and so on. But this knowledge in the Bhagavadam, what Krishna has spoken here, that's forever. That is why at the end Krishna says to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava that drink this nectar, he said. If you drink this, you don't want to drink anything anymore. This puts a person in its Surubas Siddhi. Surubas Siddhi means in his personal realization. So we'll have a few minutes break. Start in 10 minutes time. So so you have seen there in those two verses where സ്വർഗിണോപ്യേതമിച്ഛന്തി ലോകം നിരയണസ്തഥാ സാധകം ജ്ഞാനഭക്തിഭ്യാം ഉഭയം തഥ സാധകം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ന നരഹ സ്വർഗതിം കാംക്ഷ നാരകീം വാ വിചക്ഷണ നിയമം ലോകം ച കാംക്ഷേത ദേഹാവേശാൽ പ്രമാദ്യതി. ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സസ് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് പ്രോപ്പർലി, ദാറ്റ് വൈ ദിസ് ലോകം ഈസ് നോ ഗുഡ്, വൈ ഹെവൻലി പ്ലാനറ്റ്സ് ഈസ് ഓൾസോ നോ ഗുഡ്, and why hellish planets also is no good. So when Vairagyam comes through all the three planetary systems, all the three worlds, then you are ready for spiritual life. Otherwise, simply by saying to people to become spiritual, spiritual, it won't become spiritual. We are so strongly anchored to this world, and our desires are also very strong to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy there. So Krishna is removing that illusion from our head, saying this to us. Surganopedam ichandi logam nirainastatha sadhakam jnana bhaktibhyam ubhayam tad sadhakam. That both of them, Uddhava, is not going to get you very far. And finally, this word, deha veshal pramadyadi. What does that mean? Because that's more important for us. Why it's more important? Because this is our present state. Deha veshal pramadyadi. Na nara സ്വർഗതിം കാംക്ഷ നാരകീം വാ വിചക്ഷണ നിയമം ലോകം ച കാംക്ഷേത ദേഹാവേശാൽ പ്രമാദ്യതി. ദേഹാവേശാൽ പ്രമാദ്യതി, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അവർ മെയിൻ പ്രോബ്ലം. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ നോയിങ് ദിസ് കൃഷ്ണ സെയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് യു ഷുഡ് ബിക്കം ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ദേഹം ഈസ് ആൾസോ നോട്ട് എ ട്രൂത്ത്. ദേഹം ഈസ് നോട്ട് എ ട്രൂത്ത്. ആൻഡ് വൺസ് യു ഹാവ് ഐഡൻറ്റിഫൈഡ് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് you have accepted the body, means you have accepted birth and death, is it not? If you have accepted the body, you have accepted birth and death. That is Krishna's point. You can't accept birth and death and you can't keep on progressing in spiritual life. That's not possible. The moment you have accepted the body, you have accepted birth and death. That is Krishna's point, which is the logical, more logical, is it not? Then if I don't accept the reality of this body, then for who has got birth and death? I don't have birth and death. Body has got birth and death. But if I have accepted the body, then accepted the reality of the body, then I have birth and death. That is where that catches. What when others say to us that this is only for proper understanding, I'm saying this. Every religion has its own way of presenting the truth. That's okay, that's nothing wrong. But when we say that in Vedic culture alone this punarjanmam, cycle of birth and death exists, you have to understand what Krishna is pointing at. This cycle of birth and death is for the ego, not for the self. For you don't have cycle of birth and death. What is problem is today is we have identified with the ego as the self. And because of that there is birth and death, we feel in reality which doesn't exist, Krishna is saying. And this realization while living in this body is more important than going to some another planet after death and reaching another destination where things may be different one way or the other. Krishna says even that you should not hope too much about another world, another planet and all that. He will say this later. So that is what the point Krishna says. This position that one has in this world, Krishna says even that one has to give up first. One's own position in this world. that some identity in this world, in some form, isn't it? Either, you know, in various ways we have false identities here, is it not? That I am a man, I am a woman, I am Indian, I am American, I am European, or I am black, I am white, I am this, I am that, and I am an engineer, I am doctor. So many things, we have identification with all that. Krishna says, first of all, Uddhava, that also you have to come out from that. And not only that, this happiness here and the position what you have here, not apart from that, even Vaikuntham, Vaikuntha planet where you are going to go, or Kailasam, or the heavenly planets, or the hellish planets, none of them is all Sangalpam inside. In your Sangalpam it is, isn't it? For example, somebody tells you about Vaikuntham. We don't know what Vaikuntham is like. You haven't seen Vaikuntham, I haven't seen Vaikuntham. All what we know is what Shastram has told us about Vaikuntham. And then we have a lot of questions about Vaikuntham. But nobody is there to answer us all the questions about Vaikuntham, isn't it? What's happening in Vaikuntham? And similarly, all other planets also. After death, whatever we know about after death, is all in Sangalpam, isn't it? We haven't been there. It's not, as far as today we are concerned, it's only in the Sangalpam. And Krishna says, give up that also. Give up all desires to go there also. That all should be go. Yatha sarve pramuchyande. Krishna says, yatha sarve pramuchyande. Pramuchyande. Kamaya kadi shridaha. Martyo amrdo bhavadi. Atta brahma samashnute. Upanishad says like this. Upanishad does not talk about another world. Upanishad says here, now. Yatha sarve pramuchyande kamaya kadi shridaha. Martyo amrdo bhavadi. Atta brahma samashnute. When a person has completely given up all sangalpam and desires inside him, and while living in this world here itself, he realizes the truth. Then Krishna says that even that person, such a person, edad vidwan, such a person, 14th verse, edad vidwan puro mrityo abhavaya gadedasa apramattam idam yatva martya apyartha siddhidam. That is Krishna's instruction. Krishna says, edad vidwan pura mrityo abhavaya gadedasa apramattam idam yatva martya apyartha siddhidam. See that verse? He's saying, a man who knows these things, seeing these things in this way, what Krishna has spoken, he says, knowing that, knowing very well that this body is some, it's a purushartham, and it's also for capable of giving some higher execution of higher values is possible through this body, even though it may be like that, you should know that apramattam idam yatva martyam apyartha siddhidam. That knowing that this body is temporary, before death happens, he should look for perfection. Before death happens. Krishna's important statement is like that. That if you make it before death happens, you have become successful in spiritual life. Otherwise not. This point Krishna makes it time and again. If you are successful today now, then you are successful. If you are not now, then you are not. Sometimes this is where our mind, you have to be so careful about this mind. What the mind does is, mind will always bring the past into life and start making you absorbed in that, analyzing the past. What all happened in life, so many years have gone, so many things you have done, so many things you heard, so many things you followed, and then you are analyzing it. What happened, what happened, what happened? What happened, nothing happened. So that is the mind. What else the mind does? Mind also projects the future all the time, telling you that everything will be okay, all right in the future. Now I am practicing spiritual life, tomorrow something is going to happen. Krishna is saying to us, if you are dependent on this past and the future, it means you are dependent on the mind. Mind does only one thing, past, future, past, future, past, future. Analyzing the past, analyzing the future. Imagining the future, and our expectations of the future, and analyzing about the past. This is the mind's problem, isn't it? If you are doing that, it's not spiritual life as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna says, if you leave the past and if you leave the present and all the time now, right now, when you are in that awareness, you are engaged in spiritual activity, you are spiritual life, and that is what you are. That's what your actual destination is. That is what Krishna is saying here. That therefore, this imagination of the future in the past, what will happen after death, or imagination of what will happen in life after some time, or what has happened in the past, all this is activities of the mind. Krishna says, come out of that.
Edad vidvan puro mrityu abhavaya gade dasa apramattam idam yatva martyam apyartha siddhidam.
That is one word. Martyam apyartha siddhidam. Should get it, anything what you have to get now, here. Martyam apyartha siddhidam. That is why this Ekadasha Skandam, if you continuously, daily read it and keep on looking at it, you will start realizing the seriousness of spiritual life. That you can't afford to give time for other things. Right now, when the body is in a good shape, when the mind is in a reasonable shape, absorb in Ekadasham, that is what Krishna is saying. This knowledge what Krishna has given to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is what his spiritual life means. Not for kept for the old age, not kept talking about the past. Sometimes we can see, even among the devotees, what happens? We go back, oh, what happens in the early 70s, what happened in the early 80s, what happened in the 90s. What's the use of talking about all that now? That's all gone, 70s is gone. That 70s is not going to come back. That 80s is not going to come back. 90s is not going to come back. And even the first year 2000 also is not going to come back. So we have to learn where to leave it also. But because we haven't understood Ekadasha Skandam, we have not understood Krishna's message, we get absorbed in all these things, thinking that this is all spiritual life, discussing the 70s and 80s. That's what happens, is it not? It's all the time it's happening. Seriousness, where we should be serious, we are not serious. Things where we need not, it is very nice to sit together and talk about all the things what happened in the past. We all have a past to talk about, isn't it? And we can sit here year after year talking about the past life. What is the use? Krishna is saying to us, Edad vidvan pura mrityu abhavaya gadedasa apramattam idam. That is all pramadam it is. It's called pramadam. Apramattam idam yatva martyam apyartha siddhidam. Martyam apyartha siddhidam. What we have got now is this time now. This time what we have got now. And in this time, if you are not realizing it, you are not going to get it. Where is it going to come then? That is why when they take notes and all, nobody will encourage that. Because if you are taking notes means you are in the platform of the mind. I'll take the notes, I'll go home and put it in the shelf. And then I'll read it at my own convenience. Sometimes you may not read it. It will remain in the notes only. It will no further than that. This is why when Shravanam process is, when you hear, if you get it, you got it. And that is what you really got it. Not the notes what you have made or the all the books what you have got. That is even hearing after that, when we go into the website and you're listening from there even, it will not have that direct effect of hearing at the time when we discuss that, when what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. That is the way it is. Can't change it. That's the way it will be always. So therefore, more and more Shravanam, and that too Shravanam from Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that's the way to go further. So Krishna says here, and you will see this. These are all from the Upanishads. All this is Upanishads knowledge. Krishna is putting in his own words to Uddhava because he's making more personalizing it to Uddhava now. Upanishads, when you read, you won't feel it personal like that. It's a Rishi's openness. Rishi is speaking from his realizations. It is not addressed to one person. Here, Krishna has that knowledge. He has personalized it for Uddhava. That's why he will see here and there. He will see some statements from Krishna in that way. So, therefore, so Krishna says here that no, not being particular about anything. Not being particular about anything. Because if you have realized there is truth, then what is to be particular about in this world? Krishna says there, Edad vidvan purao mrityu abhavaya gadedasa apramattam idam yatva martyam apyartha siddhidam. Just like in the last verse, Krishna said, Dehaveshan pramadyadi. You have to know that words very well. Dehaveshal Pramadyadi, what it means, which we have discussed before. Krishna says that after realizing this truth, Uddhava, even those great fortunate people in the heavenly planets, as well as the sinful people in the hellish planets, both of them, they start realizing it's nice to come to the earthly planet to get a human body. To come to earthly planet for a human body. And the only reason for that is, Krishna says that either in the heavenly planet or in the hellish planets, this opportunity to acquire bhakti, opportunity to acquire knowledge, and that sadhana process, and that frame of mind, what is necessary for that, is not there, he says. Neither in the heavenly planets nor in the hellish planets. That is the reason why they want to come to the earthly planet. Why they want to come to the earthly planet. So, he says here, that therefore, the intelligent person, that he should not engage in those activities mentioned in the Vedam for elevating oneself to the heavenly planets. Oneself to the heavenly planets. Equally, he should follow those injunctions which would not take him to the hellish planets. He says like that. And also he says, the only because of identification with the body when one engages in pious and sinful activities. You see, because we identify with the body, I am this body, I engage in pious activity and sinful activity. And only for a human being, only when he is in the human body, only when he is in the human body, he can come out of this bodily identity and get liberated. That is the beauty of this human body. Only in the human body you can get released from the in the human body and get liberated. This identification with the body, you can come out of it. Only in the human body. And Krishna says you should know that very well, and before death happens, acquire knowledge and acquire bhakti, he says to him. And so earlier Krishna mentioned the qualification for acquiring knowledge is vairagyam, isn't it? Jnana vairagyam, they are going always together. Vairagyam, remember in the beginning he said that, isn't it? He said that if you are completely happy not to engage in karma in this world, not desiring anything to do in this world, that means vairagyam has come inside. And you are not desiring to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy there, which means vairagyam has come. All that means that person has gone up a little bit, gone a little higher. He saw the world and he realized it, that there's nothing much to be done here. And he has come to understand that chasing after happiness in this world is not a very intelligent thing. That means vairagyam has come. Equally, he realized that I should not waste my time in this world to go to the heavenly planets, because even there is problem of these problems what Krishna has spoken about in the heavenly planets. Every problem what we have here, like happiness here, 100 times bigger happiness we have in the heavenly planets, sense enjoyment is concerned. Equally, all the bad things what we have got here, like lust, anger, greed, and so many other things, also 100 times more in the heavenly planets. That's what Krishna's point is. Therefore, knowing all these things well from the Shastram, the desire to go to heavenly planets also should go from inside. So that is Krishna's point. And then Krishna mentions there that, so therefore, Kamya Karmam is for heavenly planets. And other karmam for sinful activities, if you perform, you will go to hellish planets. Knowing both, that sinful activities will take me to hellish planets, and pious activities take me to heavenly planets. Neither of them are favorable for self-realization. Like a jnani realizes that, Krishna says we should also realize that point and come to acquire this human body, what one has got, to realize the truth. This is Krishna's logic. Krishna's logic is like that. If one analyzes things properly, he says that this vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come. he says here. Very easily this Vairagyam will come. And it is for this purpose that we have to study Shastram, for Vairagyam to come. To know that when you study Shastram, what happens? Shastram tells us the problems of this life. Shastram puts us on the spot, isn't it? Opens up our eyes and says to us that whatever you may do here, ultimately the material body will give you problems. And you will naturally become detached to this body, is it not? You become detached from this body. Attachment to the world and enjoyment goes away from inside. You become a little bit serious inside, that let me utilize the time what I have got for my higher purpose. This will come. Pramado murtihu. So then after saying that, Krishna says something much more important, that you have to always read Krishna's verses and always keep on thinking about it. It's necessary. That's the way spiritual life will grow inside. Spiritual life is not a karmam. It's not an action only. Spiritual life is how much absorption you put into that. These verses are so potent, what Krishna has spoken. Look at the next verse. Chidyamano yamairedi kridanidam vanaspadim khakaswakhedamul srajya khemam yadikhalam vadaha ahoratrais chidyamanam budhvayur bhayave padhu mukta sanga param budhva niriham upashamyadi. Very nice way Krishna said that to us. Chidhyamano yamairekhe. Krishna's point is, Chidhyamano yamairekhe ede kridanidam vanaspadim ghakam sukedamul srajya kshemam yadi hyaram badaham. A tree is standing there and a bird has got a nest on that tree. Somebody one day decided that I don't need that tree anymore. I'm going to cut that tree. He brought the axe. In the olden days it was axe. Now it is the woodcutter, isn't it, that machine. And doesn't take very long. Few minutes, business is over. So he brings it and he puts it at the very bottom of the tree. He decided that we don't need this tree anymore. So as soon as he put the axe on the tree, or the saw on the tree, the bird who is sitting in that nest there, he understood the message. He got the message. What's the message? Message is that my house is going to be raised to the ground, isn't it? The cage is going to go. So what he has done, as soon as the bird got the message, he decided to leave. He decided to leave. Krishna saying, Chidyamano yamairede kridanidam vanaspadim khakam sukheda mulsrajya kshemam yadi khyalambada. What does the bird do? Bird says he's not going to go and negotiate with the man who has come to cut. He knows he has to go. It picks up all what he can. Probably it has got its eggs there. The baby is there. The mother is there. Father may have gone to get the food or something. Mother decided that I have to go away now. I cannot stay here. For their own protection, for the baby's protection, the mother decided to take the eggs and to fly away from there. It is not bothering about the house, what it has got, isn't it? Like nowadays, people leave Detroit, gone. Detroit has gone bankrupt, so they all left. Isn't it? You can read that in the paper. Can you imagine? This is what goes on in this world. Suddenly somebody comes and says, Watford has gone bankrupt. We all go. Where? Where do we go? So it's similar to that. So Krishna is saying here, Khakam chidhyamanam yamereide kridanidam vanaspadim khakam sukedam ulsrajya. Give up his house. You cannot get attached to the house anymore, because that house is no good for worth living. You cannot live there anymore. It's finished its purpose. Kshemam yadi halambadaha. He says, if the bird is not very attached, he would not have much problem in flying off from there. But instead, if the bird is very attached, what will happen? He will be stuck there with that. Aho ratres chidyamanam budhvayur bhayave vado. Krishna says to each one of us, he says, the axe is on all of us. Aho ratres chidyamanam. And that wood cutting business is what you are hearing here all the time. Tuck, 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 tuck. Cutting is going on. So, intelligent person, Krishna says, before this tree cuts falls off, should escape from the tree, like the bird. Like the bird.
Ahoratri chidyamanam buddhva ayur bhayave padhu mukta sangaha param buddhva niriham upashamyadi.
He says here that while living in this body, in this tree, just like the bird has realized that the woodcutter has come to cut the tree off, and how the bird becomes conscious of that and leaves the tree as quickly as possible, Krishna says, knowing well that the axe is on every single body in this world, especially the human body, where there is an opportunity to realize the truth. And as far as Krishna is concerned, that is the only business in this body. There is no other business to be done here. To realize that the axe is on, any moment it can drop. Before that happens, if we acquire this realization of the self as Krishna has spoken, Krishna says, that is it. Then that means you have made this life. Otherwise, another life gone. Come back again and start the whole thing again. Another tree, another nest, and another life. And that will follow because we didn't get to realize the truth. So that is the point Krishna is making here. You will notice this principle, what Krishna has spoken. Where did this come from? Where is Krishna's got this? Exactly, Krishna took this from the Kathopanishad. It is the Kathopanishad's message, that is. You can see there, Pramado Mrityuhu, Sanat Kumara Maharshi mentions, this Pramadam means this illusion in our head. In spite of all these things Krishna has spoken, in spite of all these things every day what is happening, still I am thinking, how can I be? My life can be comfortable here, isn't it? That's what you're thinking. Maybe I'll be alright if I go to America, or if I go to India, or if I go to somewhere else. Some plans are making going on, thinking that it's only that the place is not correct, that's why I'm going to die. But if I go to somewhere else, I may not die, I may live for a longer time. And then I will start my spiritual life after that, and then everything will be perfect. Some Brahmam, this is called Brahmam. And Sanat Kumara Maharshi mentioned this there. He says that Pramadam, this Pramadam is called a death. This is called a death. This illusion in the head all the time, thinking that somewhere else, some other time it is going to happen. Nowhere else, at no other time it's going to happen. If it has to happen, it has to happen now here. This is the spiritual principle. Remember, so many times we spoke about the mind. The nature of the mind is to take you away from the truth and absorb you in this pramadam all the time. That's what mind does. Mind is the one who tells you all the time that, oh, everything will be all right one day, and planning for the future. Future planning is all the mind's job. And also going on reflecting about the past, that's also the mind does. Spiritually absorbed person will never surrender to that. He will always know, today, now, this body is working, let me realize it now here. If that happens, you got it. You got the message correct. Otherwise, you haven't. Either you will be busy with analyzing the past, or you will be busy with preaching about the future, planning for the future. This is big. This is also in the devotee's mind, planning for the future. After 30 years, oh, this movement has to last 10,000 years. It's my responsibility to make sure that this knowledge stays in this world for 10,000 years. Is it not? Many people talk like that. They are asking this question, oh, if anything happens, how will this knowledge remain in the 10,000 years here? People ask this question always. So in other words, they are living in the future. They are worried about the future. And some others who have gone old, they are worrying about the past. But not about the present. Present is not important. Past is important. Future is important. Present is not important. And Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, if anybody is absorbed in the past or anybody is absorbed in the future, he is a right idiot. That's the way Krishna addressing him. He hasn't understood anything, Krishna says. He hasn't understood anything. That's how Krishna puts it. He hasn't understood anything, he says, about spiritual life. You may see a lot of things going on in this world. Big, big processions and big, big preaching and big, big, so many big, big things are going on. But what has he understood about spiritual life? He is either dwelling in the past or dwelling in the future. What good is it, he says. That is what is called pramadam. That is what Krishna says. Deha veshal pramadyadi. You are already fallen. There is no more further to fall. You are completely fallen already.
And he says, Edad vidwan puro mrityu abhavaya gade dasa apramattam idam yantva martyam apyartha siddhidam chidhyamanam yamereidei kudaniram manaspadim gagam sukhedamul srajya kshemam yadi khyalambadaham ahoratre siddhyamanam buddhya ayur bhayave bhayave padhu mukta sangabaram buddhva niriham upashamyadi
niriham upashamyadi. So why we are saying this is that as long as this ajnanam, what ajnanam? About the past, about the future. This is ajnanam. It is avidya in us to think that everything will be okay one day. It's not going to be okay one day. It's finished. This moment is finished, gone. Then it has become past. That is why mind cannot touch the present. Mind can only touch the past or the future. Mind can imagine about the future. Expectations about the future. Mind can dwell in the past, analyze the past, which you can never bring it back again, isn't it? But you can see, as soon as the mind touches the present, it has become past. Is it not? The moment the mind touches the present, it has become past. So that is why, without being touched with the mind, that ajnanam, this ajnanam or ignorance or avidya is called death. Death is not this body's death. This is death. This is what is called death. And as long as this ajnanam is inside us, this avidya is inside us, Yama Raja says this in the Kathopanishad to Nachiketas. What he says to him is that man who has got this ajnanam in him, he will keep that dvaidam in him. He will be always in the dvaidam state. What is that dvaidam? Dvaidam is this, that everything will be in the future or something that has happened in the past. He is either between this dvaidam, past and future, past and future, past and future. So, and such a person who is in the dvaidam state, Yamadharmaraja says that such a person, he has purchased a season ticket to my abode. That's how he puts it. You know, season ticket means cheaper, isn't it? One seat is cheaper. Secondly, it's forever, you can travel. He says, you will never escape from the cycle of birth and death. A person who is always doing this, living in the past and living in the future, never living in the present. Such a person, as far as Krishna is concerned, this whole message is from Kathopanishad. Yamadharma Raja says to Nachiketa, such a person, mrityu vaso mrityu apnodi, he says. You will look at Kathopanishad, you will see these words there, that mrityoho mrityum apnodi. He will be always coming to see me, he says. He will be a regular visitor. He has got a permanent visa or permanent traveling arrangement. He will be coming to visit me. He will never be able to come out of it, he says here. He will never be able to come out of it. If you look into Kathopanishad, you will see there, this is at the very end, he mentions this.
Manaseva idamaptavyam nehana nastikinchana mrityose mrityum gachandi ya iha naneva pashyadi.
This is that verse. And these words, this message, Krishna has taken it and put it like this in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. That's where that verse is coming from.
That manaseva idamaptavyam neha nanasti kinchana mrityose mrityum gachadi ya iha naneva pashyadi. Naneva pashyadi.
He says, this mind is what it is doing that. What does the mind do? Mind creates nanatvam. Nanatvam means its variegatedness. That this is real, that is real, everything is real, and give this identity to this variegatedness of this material world. We feel some kind of faith in the existence of this material world. Existence of the material world. So this mind itself, remember we discussed this before, from the mind body has come, is it not? And from the mind the world has come, is it not? And from the mind all the avidya is also inside the mind. That is why, as far as Krishna is concerned, dealing with the mind is more important than dealing with anything else. So in one way, Krishna says that this variegated feeling of this material world, material existence, and nanatvam. Nanatvam means this variegatedness. And the nature of that is avidya, he says. Nature of that is avidya. And once that avidya has gone, this nanatvam won't be there. What is avidya? Avidya means that everyone is a body. Everyone is a body. And namam rupam, name and form, is important. That is variegatedness. And that is why we have divided this whole world into so many different living entities, different species, different races, different people in the base of language, in the base of place of birth, and so many things, isn't it? We keep on increasing this variegatedness. That is called nanatvam. As long as nanatvam is there, nanatvam is avidya. Nanatvam is avidya. Once that nanatvam goes away, which means, therefore, the first identity with the body has to go. Identity with the body has to go. And once the antakaranam or the subtle body accepts this, this nanatvam is not a good thing, and comes to the egatvam of the atma or the soul, which is present in everyone, which is one, till he does that, Nachiketa says to Yama that he will only increase day by day his cycle of birth and death. He'll be more going through the cycle of birth. Manasai vedam aptavyam neha nanasti kinchana. Mrityose mrityum gachadi ya iha naneva pashyati. And that Upanishad is spoken like that, and Krishna has brought it into Ekadasha Skandam in this way. And saying that, he said to him that, so, apramattam idam pashyed. Apramattam idam pashyed. He says, apramattam idam pashyed. Apramattam idam yatva matya pyartya siddhidam. In the 14th verse, he mentions like that. So, apramatta idam pashyed means, here itself, that pramadam goes away. Remember, in the earlier words, Krishna says, deha veshal pramadyadi. Here Krishna is saying, apramattam idam yatva. Apramattam idam yatva. That means that pramadam which has come from deham, deha vesha pramadyadi, that pramadam will go now here. Krishna says, now here that pramadam will go. So, then Krishna is saying, this body itself is martyam. Martyam means supposed to experience death. And therefore, he says, utilize this body before death happens. Before death happens. Martyam ahartya atyartya nishiddham siddhidham. Artyam apyartya siddhidham. He says, martyam apyartya siddhidham. If you look at that verse, apramattam idam yata martyam apyartya siddhidham. Martyam apyartya siddhidham means, martyam apyartya siddhidham means, body is standing there. When he is standing, acquire this knowledge. When it is standing, acquire this knowledge. That is Krishna's point. When it is standing, acquire this knowledge. When the tree is standing, you can have it. When the tree is cut off, you can't do anything about it. When the tree is standing, you should pluck the fruit from the tree, isn't it? But somebody is cutting the tree continuously. Similarly, this tree also is being cut. That's what he said. Chidyamanam yamereide kritanidam vanaspadim ghakam sokedam ulsrijya kshemam yadi alambadaha. Kshemam yadi alambadaha. He gave that example. A bird is cut, bird has made its nest on the tree, and somebody has come to cut the tree down, and immediately what it does is it takes its babies and flies away from there. Sokedam ulsrijya. Sokedam ulsrijya, he says. That ghakha sokedam ulsrijya. Similarly, this body also is like the tree. It's being continuously cut. Continuously being cut. Krishna is asking Uddhava, can you not hear the sound of cutting? What's that cut? Inside. Aham, aham, aham. Inside. Aho ratraihi chidhyamanam buddhvayur bhaya vebhatu mukta sangha param buddhva niriham upasham yedi. So, though this tuk-tuk sound what you are hearing is that cutting business going on there. So, and what will happen when the last cut comes, the tree falls into the ground, isn't it? So, that is what they say, that this heart, otherwise why this sound, what for this sound? If somebody who could create such a complex mechanism like this body, Why the sound business Krishna has put it in there? Doctor says, when they hear the sound, oh, everything is okay. Krishna says, take note of the sound, be careful. There will be one last sound and that will be the end of it. What did the doctor say? Doctor says, they put their stethoscope and says, oh, yeah, it's working, everything is fine. So that's the difference between Krishna and the doctor. Doctor gives you a false guarantee. Krishna gives you the proper guarantee. He says, he's telling you that this is going on, it's being cut, it will be cut, one last cut will be there, and that's the end of it. There won't be any more cut after that.
അഹോരാത്രി ശിദ്യമാനം ബുദ്ധ്വായു ഭയവേ ഭതു മുക്തസംഗ പരബുദ്ധ നിരീഹം ഉപശാമ്യതി.
ആഫ്റ്റർ സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് സോ ഹി സേസ് ഫിയർ മസ്റ്റ് കം ടു എ പേഴ്സൺ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദ ഫിയർ മസ്റ്റ് കം ആൻഡ് ഫിയർ ഈസ് എ നെസസറി എമോഷൻ ആസ് വെൽ എസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് കൺസേൺഡ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ എമോഷൻസ് ആർ നെസസറി ഓൾ എമോഷൻസ് ആർ നെസസറി ബട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ടു നോ വെയർ ടു യൂസ് എ പർട്ടിക്കുലർ എമോഷൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് മോർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് And in order, because we use our fear in the wrong place, therefore we have got problems. When we get frightened about something, because it is not in the right place, we are feeling fearful, we get the problem. Krishna's point is, you should use the fear at the right place. You must have the fear about this tuk-tuk business inside. But,
Ahoratri Chidyamanam Buddhvayur Bhayave Padhu Bukta Sangha Parambuddhva Miriham Upashamiri.
He says like that. So only thing is to know where to keep the fear and when this body is continuously being cut off and being killed, and Krishna says that seeing that, knowing that sun is rising, sun is setting, and the lifespan is also going in the same way. So like last year, the same health is not there this year, isn't it? What you felt a little bit more healthy last year probably. You always know that very well, that you may say that, oh, I had this problem. When you're saying that, you know very well that your body is in its way out, isn't it? But you'll still say that, I'm feeling much better now. Actually, you're not. You're only feeling worse from now on. It's day by day, it's on your way out. But Krishna's point is that seeing that the body is losing its strength and body is going and the lifespan is also going away, health is also going away. Physically also you are getting weaker. And you can see even in spiritual life, even to execute sadhana, it's getting very difficult, isn't it? With the advancing age. And old age is coming. And not only that, all those who are with us are also leaving one after the other. And after seeing all these things, no fear is coming. That's what Krishna's point is. He says, what kind of life is this? He says. So that is what the main thing Krishna has spoken so far, preparing for Bhikshagita. So many things Krishna has to say before that too. No. So I think it is 6 o'clock. We'll stop now. We'll continue tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.